Nee, Max. Mugs are not cool.
Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam, and hang on. From space and the future with two hearts and 27 brains, and with me this week is Mary Lang.
I do love London. So many cameras.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Where am I?
Yes. Right.
I think Robert's wondering where he is right now.
Oh, yes. Well, he's certainly there, but he's not there. It's a bit like maybe he's been swallowed up by some sort of internet.
Some Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that feeds on things. I don't know. But the same goes for Rhys. Obviously, Mary wasn't going to be on the show, listeners. So I did get a last gasp message to Matthew Kressel, who didn't get the message in time, I don't think. So we'll see what happens. People may join the show, they may not. So that could be quite interesting, couldn't it?
A revolving cast.
Yes, indeedy.
But, I'm getting dizzy.
Are you? Sorry about this. Anyway, welcome back to the show, Kirby.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome back, Kirby.
What did you think of last week's show?
Oh, it was great.
Oh.
I'm useless.
I'm
a Boringer blue stabilizer.
Well, we don't think that.
Yes,
do we, Adam?
Even I would have to admit that's slightly absurd. Right. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been on the show for so long. Right. Here we go. This is I've actually made notes this time because I felt it was quite important to make notes. It's kind of a shame not Rhys is not here to pedantize, and there's also a shame that's
my job.
That Rob, yeah, and Robert's not here to say, "Oh, but you missed something, Idem, you missed something." But nevertheless, I'm gonna stick to my notes because I think they've summarised the story quite well. Please try and interject with anything I may or what would you like that may not be here among these notes that I'm just about to dictate. Right. Basically, people's souls are being uploaded to the internet, and this is dictated by somebody who has already been updated and seems to know he's been uploaded, and he's trying to sort of read out this message to anybody who might think of clicking on this little logo thing on their Wi-Fi. Because obviously you double-click on this strange logo. I wonder
Which
if that logo...
By now Kirby would have deciphered and or figured out what exotic language it is.
Hmm. Well, I did find an equivalent...
Is it Tibetan?
I don't know. I did find the equivalence of those symbols and posted them on the Facebook page.
Never mind. So did you? Sorry, I was too busy doing the audio gag to actually pay attention to what you were saying. Do apologise. I will take a look. And listeners, if you want to take a look, please join our 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which is funny enough on Facebook. Moving
we
on.
Had a couple of new members this week. It's
did.
Very nice.
Did we? Oh, good. I'll have to check out that later.
We've had two members who are three people.
That's true. That's true.
And that's confusing. It's like Doctor Who.
Yes.
Well, not confusing, the fact that... Never mind, I'll get back to my notes here. Basically, after the opening scene... You know, what got me about that scene with all the faces, which looked great... I thought that was going to be a close-up of a computer screen, and they were going to zoom out, and it was someone's monitor. Each one of those I thought was like a pixel from, you know, like the LCD laptop screens.
Yeah.
If you look really closely, you can see those little tiny little square pixels. I thought that would have been really cool if they'd zoomed out and it had created an image
face.
Or something.
Yeah,
a one face or one world or one image. But what they did was really good. I just thought that would have been... Well,
reminded me a little
slightly.
Bit of the Idiot's Lantern.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that, but that's good.
I'm hungry.
Well, to be fair, you should have eaten before the podcast. I did.
I did.
Oh, that's all right then. Right then. If you get any messages from Robert, I don't know how I'm supposed to. I suppose I'll get a little thing. I'll go whoop, and then I'll know he's realised
we're
here.
Skype. He is on Skype.
He's on Skype, but he's not available. he's online, but he's probably still asleep. And if he's asleep, good. He should be sleeping this time of the night. Anyway, right. So then we move to Cumbria, 1207. Which I do love the way now that they do the graphic of the year reflecting on something in some arty-farty way. Like on this occasion, it was on the sea, and it was just sort of buggy. Yes. Thing. I do like that now. That's the sort of thing that they're doing, and they've been doing now for over a year, and or basically for this series, haven't they, since the start? Because Series 7A doesn't seem part of Series 7B, even though it's allegedly.
It doesn't.
Yeah. But this is the only thing they've actually kept constant. Oh God, here we go. Yes. Ooh. £5, Alicia. Don't eat it. Not going to get very much.
I have a present.
What other present?
Mum's got me.
Do you know what the present is?
I don't know what it is, but I'm on it because it's not going to mean anything if I get given it tomorrow, is it?
Well, have you mentioned this to? Has she given you any of the presents?
No.
Well,
it's not going to mean anything.
It's still Easter tomorrow.
No, it isn't, Dad.
God.
It's Easter today. Paint's called Easter Sunday.
Yes, but you're not supposed to demand Easter.
No, it's unfair.
Okay, it's just unfair. Don't.
Did Alicia watch this episode?
Yeah, don't get anything out of her, but yes, hang on. Yes, she did indeed watch the episode, but all she wanted to say in regards to that is, of course, when I got home to watch it from my wedding job, that she was quite pleased at the fact that she'd actually seen it before I had.
One-upmanship.
But she's just grumbling. She did the opposite teenager thing there. Instead of slamming the door behind her, she opened it. You know, she'd like pushed it open and walked off up the stairs in a huff. Basically, she, Deb bought her, some Apple earphones, and what else? Oh, an iTunes voucher. But she doesn't know that yet. But because she was such a pain in the neck last night, and she's been like it all day because of this big huff she's been in because Isabella got loads of Easter eggs and she didn't. she's now thinking, oh, I must get my presents before Easter Sunday comes to an end.
And, yes.
It continues. She's being a bit annoying, but never mind, let's move on. Where did I get up to? I've got up to the bit where they're in Cumbria, and we were talking about the great graphics and the way that this doesn't seem part of the same series, blah, blah, even though obviously Clara's a big part of it.
I get quite a Sherlock feel from those graphics.
You do? I haven't seen Sherlock, so I'll have to take your word for that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear indeed. But anyway, as we said,
go watch Sherlock. It's
I'd
brilliant.
Rather not. It probably is. But I'd rather not. At the moment. Maybe one day in the future. I don't know. I've got an episode downloaded free from iTunes over Christmas, but I just haven't got time. I'd rather just watch Doctor Who and my other favourite programmes, which I'm not going to refer to at the moment because I want to get back to my notes. Right, so, as I said, they're in Cumbria. The Doctor is known as the Mad Monk, even though they know he's not a monk. Obviously, that's some reference to the Meddling Monk. Or not, as the case may be. And he's a bit grumpy, actually. And he's in this little sort of room with a painting of Clara with the message on it, her famous words, or famous last words, as they seem to be quite regularly.
Yes, run, you clever boy, and remember.
I will. I'm just trying to. That's why I've written the notes down. I'm not likely to run.
Good for you.
they just dictate to him the fact that the bells of St. John's are ringing. Now, the funny thing about this Bells of St. John's, which is, of course, the title of the story, this is the only reference to it, and basically has no bearing on the rest of the story at all.
Right.
Which is probably the first time that's ever happened in Doctor Who.
Oh, I doubt it.
No, not necessarily.
Really? I can't remember.
I'll come up with something.
I'm sure you will. But anyway,
somehow it took until actually seeing this until I made the connection that it was the St. John ambulance.
Right, right. It was a clever bit, but yeah.
That had
nothing to do with the rest of the story.
Yes, that's very good, because guess who hadn't noticed that?
Who?
Doctor. Oh, I mean, sorry. me!
Wait a minute. Adam, you didn't get that?
No, I do. All right. I'm a
you didn't
dopey
get that?
Twit. No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. So what did you think the What did you think the Bells of St. John was referring to?
God, I just thought it, I thought St. John's was the abbey that he was in.
The abbey. Okay.
Despite the fact that they focus in on the St. John ambulance symbol
while the phone is ringing.
Right. Yeah.
Let me explain. The first time I watched this was late at night. The second time I watched it, I was writing notes. So I might have glanced away from the screen at that precise point that they actually showed the St. John's
ambulance. But that's why you have us here.
Right, moving on.
Sorry, I'm just amused. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so he goes to the TARDIS, which is in some sort of cavey sort of place, and answers the phone, which is ringing, and he said that did he say it hasn't happened before, or that shouldn't happen, or something
he
like that?
He says it shouldn't happen, yeah. Because he knows, of course, the phone isn't connected to anything.
Yeah, I've jumped ahead a bit here, because...
even though the phone has been used many times, even back in the classic days, as far as I know, it's only rung twice.
Yeah, once in the Empty Child.
Right.
Which, of course, is another Moffat story. Anyway.
Right.
I have jumped ahead here.
And he makes it apparent then, you know, that the phone is connected to anything. So we're already aware of that when he answers it this time.
Yes.
And the style of phone changed, but that's probably because of the...
Yes, it did.
The redesign of the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, of course it did, yes. Anyway, I have jumped ahead because I was just remembering the fact that we see the Doctor and he goes, because the Bells of St. John, etc. But before we get to see that bit, we go back to see Clara, who's trying to phone an internet helpline because she couldn't find the internet. And obviously that's indicating the fact she's computer illiterate, which is very unusual for a girl of her age in this day and age, but nevertheless that's the case.
Not necessarily. I know people who are completely baffled.
What, or that are 24?
Yeah, I don't know anybody as young as in their 20s and as lost as she is.
Yeah, it's very unusual. Anyway, Artie is reading Summer Falls by Amelia Williams. What significance may that have in the future?
Now, speaking of you're missing the St. John stuff.
Yeah.
I'm noticing. I saw the Amelia Williams immediately, but I'm amazed by the number of posts on Facebook today of people just noticing that.
Yeah, that surprises me actually because it was.
I did not notice it. It took somebody putting the picture on Facebook for me to. Oh, look at that!
Well, the thing is that the fact that they did a close up of the cover made me look at it and think, what's so special about
now
this cover?
Now that artwork of that book is horrible.
Yeah, it's very set in the 40s, isn't it? Which I think.
Yeah, I think that was typical artwork.
It's supposed to look like an Enid Blyton or Agatha Christie book of that particular
era. Yeah, I agree with you, Adam.
Meanwhile, because of course that's when Amy and Rory were sent back, wasn't it, to the was it to the 40s or something like that?
Meanwhile, back at the TARDIS.
And also, there's a reference to Chapter 11 is the best, and he'll cries out. And obviously, Chapter 11 is each
you'll
chapter
cry
about.
Right out.
Yeah, but is each chapter about each of the Doctors? Maybe that's talking about Chapter 11.
I think it's just a passing reference.
I think
it was just for us. I don't think there's anything. I mean, when the book comes out, I guess we'll find out. But I doubt that in the real book it means anything.
Well, obviously, Matt Smith on the Jonathan Ross show alluded to the fact that the 50th special has something to do with paintings. Did he not? And there's another painting on this book.
Well,
cover,
I didn't see that interview.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I posted it to Facebook, but I didn't watch it.
No, I watched it on the telly. Right.
You're so busy telling us about everything. You're not investigating yourself, huh?
Exactly.
Well,
meanwhile,
it was just a little longer than my attention span, I guess. I haven't watched that hour-long TV show with the celebrities, the has-been celebrities or whatever it's called, yet either.
Which is what?
That? You're talking about the useless celebrities or whatever that's called?
Yeah, whatever
pointless.
That is.
Pointless.
Pointless.
Seen that either.
Yes, I enjoyed that. But anyway, it was a bit cheesy, but I enjoyed it.
I haven't had a chance. Pointless but, celebrity special, that's it.
But
yeah.
Nicola Bryant was on it, and there was no mention of Nicholas Nawkes. Such a shame.
I wonder why.
Reese, where are you when we need you? But she still looked great. And it was nice to see friends of the show on that thing. That's Fraser Hines and Louise Jameson, who were in the 20 megabyte team together, which I thought was great.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't win, though, unfortunately. No spoilers, but what did they? No, they didn't. Anyway, back to my notes. Basically, this is where we get to the bit where the
Unfortunately, Doctor Who Locations hasn't updated yet where that... I wonder if that structure is really something that exists with the hole going down into the ground, or if it, or if it's something with salt. If it wasn't on in the woods, it reminded me of the demons.
Hmm. Well, the thing is, right, I was watching an old episode of Time Team, or it might have actually been the 20th anniversary episode of Time Team, where they discovered this underground flight of steps and cavern underneath one of those burial mounds, and it was like perfect. It was brilliantly built with stone and stuff, and had a little spiral staircase going down into this tiny little hole. Now, it reminded me a little bit of that. I just wondered if they sort of based it on that. The fact that the TARDIS phone was ringing was in fact Clara calling the internet, and of course he picks up the phone and Clara's on the other end. I thought that was quite clever.
Yes, I did too.
I really enjoyed that particular connection between the two.
What's your theory? Who's the girl in the shop who gave her the number?
Well, I already read Ian's feedback. I hadn't thought about it before that, but I read his feedback and that gave me the idea.
So what the actual words that Clara, how does she describe this girl in the shop? Let's see if we can decipher this one.
She just says a girl in a shop, and he asks, what girl? And she just says, I don't know, just girl in a shop.
Yeah.
No description. Oh, no, the girl in the shop said it's the best helpline.
This was the best, the best helpline ever.
Right.
Hello?
Ah, hello. I can't find the internet.
Sorry?
It's gone, the internet.
Can't find it anywhere. Where is it?
The internet?
Yes, the internet. Why don't I
have the internet?
It's 12:07.
I got 3:30. Am I phoning a different time zone?
Yeah, you really sort of are.
Did I show up on the bill?
Oh, I dread to think. Listen, where did you get this number?
The woman in the shop wrote it down.
It's a helpline, isn't it? She said it's the best helpline out there.
In the universe, she said.
What woman? Who was she?
I don't know. The woman in the shop. So...
why isn't there internet? Shouldn't it just sort of... be there?
Look, listen, I'm not actually... this isn't... you have clicked on the Wi-Fi button, haven't you?
Hang on.
I don't remember what Ian said. I guess I have to go and look.
In the shop. Would it be... no, it wouldn't be Rose. It would have been... Martha, because Martha's a doctor.
It's either Rose or River.
Well, River. I need to give away. Yeah, unless
I don't think
it'd
be Rose. Rose is in an alternative universe.
I could tell you what Ian says, but it wouldn't be fair because I think he came up with that.
He's probably in his feedback.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So we'll wait for that. But
I kind of like that.
So let's move along, and then when we get, when Ian says it, he gets the credit.
Okay. So we'll move along then, as you say. Basically the doctor then gives her some internet advice, and she clicks on the Wi-Fi button and it needs a password, which is RYCBAR123, which is obviously "Run, you clever boy, and remember." Which then obviously, what?
It wasn't obvious to me until she said it.
She says, "How am I supposed to remember that?" So the little girl says, "Run, you clever boy, and remember." And, of course, that then makes the doctor, his ears sort of prick up.
Yeah.
And I never realised how much I enjoy hearing that said out loud, which is when he turns up on the doorstep when she says Doctor Who. And she does say Doctor Who in a way that isn't annoying, which is quite funny.
Yeah, remember, what was it, a week or two ago when that clip appeared online? I was objecting to it, and now I'm not.
Hello? Clara Osmond Oswald.
Just Clara Oswald. What was that middle one?
Do you remember me?
No? Should I? Who are you?
The Doctor. No? The Doctor?
Doctor who?
No, just the Doctor. Actually, sorry, could you just ask me that again?
Got it, what?
Could you just ask me that question again?
Doctor who?
Okay, just once more.
Doctor who?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Do you know... I never realised how much I enjoy hearing that said out loud. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey! No!
Which particular bit? About her saying Doctor Who.
The whole Doctor Who thing.
Yeah, him liking to hear it, yeah.
Yeah, they did that scene very, very well.
Because then it explains why he himself was going around the TARDIS saying it, you know, after Asylum of the Daleks and all that. He seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, he likes being mysterious. I think that's basically what he's saying.
Yes.
That's how I read it anyway. Other people may think otherwise. I've just tried to get Robert back on, but he's
I just had a flashback of the first Doctor in An Unearthly Child saying very mysterious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Anyway, so at this point, Celia Imrie, future, hopefully, friend of the show, turns up, and she's in charge of the data cloud and has a sort of a client.
When are you planning on getting her on the show?
Next time I see her, which could be this year, could be next year, could be a few years' time. But next time I see her, and I'm able to speak to her. So a few things have to come together, like they did when I got to ask her. I have to know she's around, get to speak to her, and be able to arrange something.
Give her some twiglets.
Could offer her as some sort of bribery, some twiglets. Basically, yeah. So she has
some twiglets. I want to try some.
Wait, no, I'm not having you eating twiglets while we're recording, because that would be like Robert. Right. So so she has a mysterious client that's feeding on human minds and human souls. Now, did you, when she said this, did a little sort of thing in your mind start to think, I wonder if that's the same mysterious client or person we had in the Christmas special?
Not to me.
It was, even though I had seen the rumors that he was going to be in it, I had forgotten by yesterday, it was a complete surprise at the end.
Well, I have to admit.
And I let out one of those, yeah!
Well, I have to admit that I did think of that. That's because, and that's why at the end of it, I wasn't entirely surprised. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute.
When it was revealed, I found myself saying, "What? So soon?"
Anyway, Clara is in the house, and there's some girl walks down the stairs. That basically the girl from the cover of the book that. Artie had been reading, and she talks back to Clara, basically repeats what Clara is saying, but in a sort of first person sort of way. But it was quite similar to I've written a note down to Midnight, the way initially that the entity would repeat, quite. You know, it was in the first person rather than exactly what the person was saying, which was a bit obviously initially new or something spooky about it.
There was an early computer program called Eliza that was supposedly psychoanalyzing you, and it's that sort of repetition.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, the combination of this is that, obviously, initially this thing's called a spoonhead, but it comes up with its proper name later on. Its head turns around in a very yucky sort of scary way, but then you see this sort of computer thing on the back, which isn't particularly scary. It's a bit like a spoon. Even Isabella wasn't particularly freaked out by this, and Clara gets uploaded.
I was quite relieved, because when I heard that there was going to be something called a spoonhead in this episode, I was really worried that it was going to be something kind of cheesy.
I thought it was going to be like the node things in the
Silence in the Library. Yeah.
The way it turned.
Yeah. Right.
But it wasn't, obviously. It's funny how Moffat seems to sort of have the elements of previous stories that crop up in things. No? Okay.
Following that is, or in the meantime, you know, the Doctor is in the TARDIS trying to decide on what he's going to dress in.
I haven't quite got to that bit yet, but yes, which is the next line, actually, which is Doctor changes into superb costume.
And, yeah, I like the way he holds up his old jacket and the purple one, you know, and it like drops the old one like it's a hot potato, like, yuck. Yeah.
And he sort of has the bow tie in a special presentation box. But yeah, what a costume that is. I love it.
Yeah, Matthew Kressel says it's going to be a hard to cosplay, this one.
Why?
I don't know. You know, maybe just because it's not
I think
you know,
it's a, yeah, it's an unusual jacket.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be made rather than, you know, you can find one in a you know, old clothing store or something.
Okay. I'm sure people will find a way.
People just fans stick, are very with the, ingenious. Stick with the original one.
Yeah, probably. Maybe so. Yeah. Probably will. Let's try. Anyway, Clara has been uploaded. He disabled the walking Wi-Fi base station, which is what this spoonhead is, and then battles to reverse the upload by tapping away
on
the computer keyboard very quickly.
I was amused by the Britishism of calling a vacuum cleaner a Hoover again. It's hoovering everyone up.
Yeah.
That's not Americans don't have that particular bit of slang.
No. Oh, but we do with other products. Yeah. We don't call tissue, we don't say facial tissues, we say Kleenexes, you know, so it's pretty prevalent.
We have Kleenexes. I'm sure some people in this country call them Kleenexes. People who particularly prefer Kleenexes, no doubt.
Do you use the term hoovering?
Yeah, and we've got a Dyson. So yes, we don't. Yeah, I'm just going to Dyson. I worked on a vacuum. We Hoover.
Imagine me growing up with my name.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we were thinking of getting a Henry when the old Dyson eventually packed in to do the hoovering. Anyway, I think Mr. Dyson, or is it John Dyson who invented the Dyson, obviously would love the idea of people changing the term hoovering to Dysoning, but it still hasn't
happened. I don't think it's going to happen.
No. Right. Anyway, where did I get up to?
He was reversing her upload.
Yeah, so he succeeds in reversing the download and gives Clara a kiss on the head, not for the first time, and probably not for
the last one, which I find interesting, and I'm sure it's just part
Reese
of the,
on.
The
Reese
plot.
Is on. Ooh,
Reese is on, right, good. What am I saying? Oh, that's good, because the innuendo levels are a little bit low at the moment on the show.
Are you sure he's on?
He's not coming
start
up
over.
No, I'm not starting over. Yeah, thank you, Reese, for joining us. I appreciate it. I'm not going to give you a stick, because I know it's very early, and I'm just glad to have you here. Now, I'm going to tell you where we got up to.
Mm-hmm.
We've got up to the bit where the Doctor has reversed the first of Clara's uploads, and he's just kissed her on the forehead. Now, is there anything... Shall I quickly run through the previous... That's a good idea, isn't it, Kirby? To quickly run through my previous notes without alluding too much, and then you can butt in stuff
sure.
you want to say. Right, here we go. A quick run through of my previous notes. This is a bit like previously on the 20 Megabyte Podcast. People's souls being uploaded to internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cumbria, 1207.
Oh, yes. I loved what the name of the episode referred to. Just the whole idea of that. As soon as I saw the St. John's Ambulance logo, I thought, of course.
Mary, should we tell Reese about what we found out about Adam?
Well, yes, I'm wearing a Spider-Man onesie. Everybody knows this.
Adam did not make that connection.
No.
With St. John.
But I was being distracted by annoying teenagers during the time I was watching the show. Right, next bit. It's Doctor is the Mad Monk. Picture of Clara in his room.
I thought that would be later on in some other episodes, but it makes sense where it is.
I think it will appear in other episodes or future episodes, because obviously it's a running theme. I'm not going to say it because it's a spoiler. You'll have to listen to the show.
There's multiple copies behind a fake wall in it. No.
But not Clara.
That's right.
Clara is trying to call the internet helpline, Reese.
Yes, she is.
Yes. Artie is reading Summer Falls by Amelia Williams.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit heavy-handed.
Okay. Obviously, we had River was a novelist, now her daughter is. Mm. No, her mother, sorry, I'm getting confused.
Her mother.
confused you will be. And, of course, there's a reference to Chapter 11 being the best and He Will Cry His Eyes Out, Chapter 11.
Yes, that felt a bit like Silence in the Library when River first came in and she said, nostalgia for the future and the best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. TARDIS phone is the Bell of St. John, because of, as you said, and I didn't notice, there's a St. John's ambulance badge. And it's actually Clara's call to the internet, which I thought that was really good.
It is. And is it is in an evil spirit. It's a woman.
Basically, he gives us some internet advice, clicks on the Wi-Fi button. And it needs a password, which is RYCBAR. Did you get that until before the little girl said, run, you clever boy, and remember?
No, but I think I should have done, because they made a big thing of her saying it.
Yes. And she didn't realise herself, which I thought was quite interesting. And then the doctor turns up on the doorstep, and she says, who are you? And he says, the doctor. And she said, Doctor Who. And he says, I never realised how much I enjoy hearing that said out loud.
Oh, so he'd be the only one then.
Right?
He'd be the only one.
I've reversed my dislike of it. So you
I
are
didn't
the
mind it. One. I didn't mind it.
Alright, so you and the doctor are the only one then.
Okay. I mean, the fact that he does it himself and did so in earlier episodes, you know, then it made sense for him to say, oh, I'd love to hear that.
And also, I think that Jenna Louise Coleman says it in a way that's not annoying, unlike the headless fat person.
Doctor Who?
Yeah, which is really stupid. And also when the doctor himself said it, which was... But then this links in with that.
It's because she really is asking it. And then she's kind of asking, why do you want me to keep saying it?
Yes. Yeah.
Doctor Who? Why? Yes. Why do you want me to say it?
See, the Emery is in charge of the data cloud and has a client that feeds on human minds. Now, did you get at this point what the client might be?
I knew what the client was because the stupid BBC put it on their website.
Well, you shouldn't have been looking.
Oh, that's too bad.
I couldn't help it when someone gets screenshots and posts it all over Facebook.
That wasn't on our Facebook.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, you must have been
on your Facebook, but it was a different page that posted it, and I was really annoyed.
Well, when new Doctor Who is coming up, you should just avoid all of that, Reese.
Yes. Well, when
this was weeks ago.
When Doctor Who was airing, I turned my phone off until I'd watched it and turned it back on again. Oh, what?
Oh, you're talking about the rumor. Yeah, it was on Internet Movie Database that he was going to be.
No, it was on the website.
Really? Okay.
About the episode, in the cast it had... Well, I've forgotten his name now. I've just woken up.
Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant cast as the Great Intelligence. That's what it said.
Okay. Huh. Right. So, what did I get up to? Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hear any of those rumors because it was a wonderful discovery in the moment.
It culminates in her getting, this is Clara, getting uploaded by a girl that walks down the stairs and has a spooky spoon head. And that's the girl from the book cover as well.
That was really spooky, actually, because
as
soon as you realise she's on the book, I'm thinking, oh, so she couldn't be a friend of the little girl.
Yeah.
And like I said, she repeated things a bit like the characters in Midnight, but it was sort of like a first person repeating.
That little girl was a good actress.
Yeah,
she was.
Did a great job.
She did.
Very, very creepy.
The doctor changes to a superb costume, and the bow tie is kept in a special box.
It is. I love that.
You love the costume or just the bow tie in the special box?
I love both of them. I love the idea that he just kind of worships the bow tie, and I like the new costume because this is nice, long and flowing.
And the way he got rid of his old costume, I like that.
Monks are not cool.
No, I mean, he holds up both coats, the old and the new.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just kind of drops the one.
Yeah, I did that earlier on, but I haven't done anything since the podcast started. Just like to
now, since he went underneath the console, I was looking for the builder's plaque that we saw in The Doctor's Wife, and I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay.
And now, speaking of... since when the podcast started, when was that, by the way? Just trying to figure out how late I am.
about 35 minutes ago.
You're 40 more, closer to 45.
Uh-oh.
My time says 34 minutes and 37 seconds.
Oh, yeah, because you're timing it. Okay.
Indeed. What did I get up to? Doctor Strange is super.
Well, I think we're pretty much caught up, aren't we?
Yeah.
So here we are. Right. So the next bit is basically changes into his costume, which of course is the first time the Doctor has been seen changing a costume while in mid incarnation, because normally they only really do that when the Doctor's just regenerated. So that was
Seventh Doctor.
What about Seventh Doctor?
He changed his costume.
Yeah, but he'd only just regenerated.
No. The Seventh Doctor went from that beige coat to the dark brown coat.
Yeah, but you didn't actually see him physically finding clothes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Picky. Because the Fourth Doctor also changed.
You're right. The Fourth Doctor did too.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. That's not the point.
But did the Third and Tenth Doctors count too? Because they kind of wore different coloured costumes all the time too.
Yeah, so Clara's been loaded. And the Doctor disables the walking Wi-Fi base with his sonic screw. Sorry, walking Wi-Fi base station with the sonic screwdriver, and then battles to reverse the upload. He succeeds, and this is where he got up to. He succeeds and kisses Clara on the head. So now we're up to date.
And I wanted to say, I know really that it's for the story, but everybody else got absorbed so fast, and hers was taking a very long time.
Yeah,
because she's Clara Oswald. She's special. She is a.
Yeah, and at
complicated
this point,
space-time
at this
events.
Point, she's Clara Oswald with no Oswin.
Right.
But there is a mention of Oswin. She uses that as a password. Yes. Or a username, wasn't it?
Oswald for the win. That could be Oswin.
Yeah, clever. I do like it when he drops in little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this fact that she's been uploaded and she was like just a face in a computer. It reminded me a little bit like how we first saw her. She was just a face within a Dalek sort of brain, and that was quite interesting. Is it sort of alluding to the fact that this may have be part of it all, or whether she's going to be uploaded again in the future and that's how she ends up in the Dalek, or one of her incarnations ends up in the Daleks? We really don't know what the hell's going on. Moving on to the story.
Now, her gaining the computer skills from being uploaded means that this must be the first of the Claras. Because the other, the one in the Dalek was a computer whiz. This is how she became the computer whiz.
Yeah.
But what about the one in the snowman?
The computers?
you're saying this is the first of her, but
there's one before computers.
True.
So what you're saying really is that this is the Clara.
One she was a governess, and in this one she's a governess.
This could be the second of her, and the one for the snowman could be the first, and she's been followed by the great intelligence to now, and then she's learning about the computers, and then eventually she'll end up in the Asylum of the Daleks. So I'm agreeing with
Kirby. We have yet to do another earlier in time episode, the one with the what's her name? It used to be Emma Peel.
But there was a
Diana Rigg. That takes place in the past also.
Yes, that's right. But also, when you said about the past, that reminded me, obviously, of the Silurian woman and her little wife person. And there's a prequel, isn't there, that has come out as part of this series, which involves, I haven't actually watched it yet, which involves the Sontaran, which is her name again?
Strax
and the two other characters. So obviously,
that's explaining why Strax is alive.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is basically
it's very
an aftermath of A Good Man Goes to War.
Strax.
Warning.
Leave me.
Warning.
Go on. You must leave me here to die.
You're not dying, Strax.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's a glorious thing for a Sontaran to die in battle.
The battle was 2 days ago. You've made a full recovery.
No, I haven't.
We've healed your wounds. You're completely fine.
Nonsense! That was definitely a fatal shot. I didn't stand a chance.
I think you just fainted.
Silence, boy!
The station is being evacuated. We are all being returned to our proper times and places. We wondered if you would like to come with us.
We're from London. 1888.
What of it? Is there something there for me?
A welcome?
Why?
We fought together, didn't we? Side by side as comrades.
And we couldn't help noticing. You do seem to be alone.
I am accustomed to solitude.
As are we. Jenny here has been ostracized by her family because of... Well, let's just say preferences in companionship. I am the last of my kind, as you are the only one of yours. A Sontaran who fought bravely in the best of causes.
I thank you for your offer, but cannot accept, as you are putrescent alien filth.
Indeed. We thought that would be a difficulty. Come along, Jenny. Time to go home.
Although, this planet of which you speak, London, what do you do there?
Solve crimes.
Protect the Empire.
There's quite a lot of running.
Some spectacular dresses.
And an awful lot of fun.
I suppose I could make a preliminary reconnaissance of this London place. It may need to be assessed for military potential.
That's the spirit.
Thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to obliterating you both in the name of the Sontaran Empire. I'm not an expert on alien species, but you're both women ones, aren't you?
It has been noted.
Don't you need a man one?
No.
Am I the man one?
No.
So, dresses then.
Yeah. Right. It's called,
which is also a prequel.
Lady things, and I'm a man thing.
Don't you need that, Robert?
Hey.
Hello.
Is that Robert?
Robert.
Hey. Oh, where have you been?
I'm not going to go back to the beginning again. Right then.
Maybe he's been sleeping at three in the morning for him.
No, he's been trying to be on since before we started.
Yeah.
Oh, bless him. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Oh, that doesn't
sound. I tell you, people always wonder what Robert's going to sound like this week, and really, it's strange. Is it hot where you are, Robert? Because you're sounding very sort of.
Yeah,
that's just me. That's your laptop.
Oh, it's his laptop. Right. Anyway, nice. Thanks for joining us, Robert. I'm not going to go back and do it all over again.
Aww.
I'll tell you where we've got up to. We've got up to the bit where the doctor changes costume. He kisses Clara on the head. The doctor tells Celia Imrie that Clara is under his protection via some sort of text message. Of course, the fact that he signed it, the doctor. She then relays this to the client, which... I was fairly clear at this point who the client may be, although I wasn't 100% sure until they mentioned it at the end
Robert,
of the episode.
Yeah, Robert, do you know who the client was?
No.
Ah, good. I feel like I'm a bit of one-upmanship.
Seeing as you didn't pick up on the reference to what the Burgess of St. John was, I'm very much doubting that you were sure who he was.
Okay, Robert, did you get who the Bells of St. John were?
Still have the
sleep, so. Thank you. So I'll take that as a no, because I'm going to just to keep.
I don't understand the question.
I'm going to take that as a he agrees with me. Right then, so we got up to.
No, let's say he can't commit yet. He's too tired.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he'd back me up, wouldn't you, Robert? Yeah.
What there you go. That noise.
That's, I think it's a fan, but it's a very interesting noise.
Fan.
Yeah.
It's not a fan.
It sounds quite alien, doesn't it?
Yes. Robert is in a spaceship hovering over Australia.
Robert, do you know where you are?
Yes.
Oh, well, obviously he hasn't been swallowed up by the internet, so that's fine. I just wanted to make absolutely sure. Okay. The doctor serves up real jammy dodgers to the sleeping Clara.
Yes.
And finds a leaf in a book.
Now, why... I would think it was unsanitary to take a bite out of a jammy dodger and leave it on the plate.
Probably is, but there you go.
Mary?
She didn't have to eat that one.
Different saliva.
It's different saliva.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually,
okay.
I think you're wrong. I find that these are actually fake jammy dodgers, because in the Doctor Who universe, they're different than they are in this one. So these ones are a plot hole, because they've slid through from our universe into that universe.
They were clearly the Jammy Dodgers that I photographed and put on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, so I beg to differ.
You were at Clara's house, you lucky devil.
I wish. Anyway, Doctor Relate.
Well, no, yes. I'm the one who posted the screenshot.
Did you? Damn.
Sure,
I took a picture of some Jammy Dodgers at some point.
I was really tempted to go out and drive 25 minutes one way to get some Jammy Dodgers. I decided it wasn't worth the expenditure of the gasoline. So. Yeah,
and also, you've got to bear in mind that once you've brought them home, they'd be gone within a matter of seconds, which is what happens when Jammy Dodgers are available in this house. You open an upper pack, have one, and Alicia eats the rest.
Well, at least I can get Jammy Dodgers when I can no longer find Jelly Babies.
Indeed. Anyway, that's the story.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, so
Mary, you've got a British store you can go to.
Yes, I do, and I can get Jelly Babies, Jammy Dodgers, and just about anything else you talk. Twiglets too, I can get there.
Oh,
and I have.
I will mention this to Celia when I get a chance. Moving on.
Oh yeah.
About Twiglets. When I said to Deb that we were thinking of calling Celia Emery Twiglet Woman, she says, don't call her Twiglet Woman, she might get offended. So we're going to call her Celia, just in case Deb is right.
Ooh, if she walks in the door and it's like, oh, it's a Twiglet Woman.
Hello, Twiglet Woman, yeah. Anyway.
Instead of a mad cat woman.
And I'd like to welcome to the 20 Megabyte podcast, Twiglet Woman. Anyway, yes, Jammy Dodgers. So basically, there's a leaf in a book, but in the book also is Clara's age sort of crossed out every year. Now we know she's 24 at this particular stage.
Is it Jenna Louise 26?
I don't know, but she always plays characters younger than herself.
Because she's so tiny.
The Doctor relays messages when Clara wakes up.
I do enjoy the fact that the Doctor doesn't just sniff the leaf, but he licks it.
Yes. typical Doctor time.
Yeah, carrying on the Doctor Who tradition of tasting everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he invents the quadricycle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love this. He's just so proud of that. I invented the quadricycle.
Yeah. Robert, why don't you reboot?
Reboot? Is that going to improve things?
It might.
Okay.
Well, I thought he had a headset.
Oh, that's really spooky. It's like music written by Paddy King's thingamajig.
Dudley Simpson.
Oh, what happened there?
Oh, it's like his microphone.
All right, okay.
No, it's plugged it out.
But, Robert, it's not too annoying. It's just really, it's adding some special sort of...
That's better.
That's much better.
Still.
Well, that's better. Hello, Robert. Yeah,
when we're talking feedback, that's the kind of noise we think of.
No, I think it's a bit like, remember the music from that famous Doctor Who story? Was it the Death of the Daleks, the one on that spooky planet where there was no power and the Daleks had to have normal guns? It was a bit like that.
Sound better than you have in months.
Weeks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say months, but at least
welcome
weeks.
To the What's Robert Going to Sound Like This Week podcast.
Anyway. Where what sounds strange, we talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, occasionally. Anyway, Celia Imrie instructs Alexi, that's one of her sidekicks, to... do something creative. The Doctor realises something is harvesting human minds, and Clara mentions Twitter, and a few hours ago she knew nothing about the internet.
Mm-hmm. What's that face suddenly,
they are suddenly in danger.
I love the scene back when we first ran across Alexi, when Miss Kislet said, we must kill Alexi, but let him go on holiday first.
Yeah. We're not heartless, yeah.
Yeah. Clara calls the TARDIS a snogging booth, which is quite accurate.
I love the way whenever there's anything to do with sex brought up, the Doctor's just all embarrassed. He goes, Clara! It's like when he's talking to the TARDIS when she says, you call me sexy, and he goes, only when we're alone.
They then get surrounded by some spooky things, like lights going off, a spoon head thingamajigs, and then a plane starts approaching, which reminded me of 9/11.
It took me until my third watching when I realized that they turned out all the lights except for the lights in that area to help the plane home in on where to crash.
Yes.
Well, I think they were turning the Wi-Fi off everywhere except
there. Yeah, but the plane itself wasn't actually being flown by anybody. It was
honing in on the Wi-Fi signal. Yeah.
Being flown by the Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then isn't it the doctor says they must be a hell of a target? And
yes.
They move, basically jump in the TARDIS and then land on the plane so the doctor can run up through the aisle. And
Oswin and her magic refilling teacup.
Yeah, that
it fills itself so she can have a sip at the end of the scene.
And how can she not be spilling?
I know.
That's
what
she said.
Everywhere.
Dear me.
I'm going to ignore that one. That was dirty.
Reese is on the show, everybody. The innuendo has begun.
No, you're the one who reads out the innuendo. That's what she said.
But there
I'm
was nothing.
Just providing the
There was
the
nothing until
it.
You turned. Yeah, exactly. Which is what Mary's job is. Sorry, Mary, you must have a word with Reese about his contribution to this particular aspect of the show. Anyway,
speak to me after class, huh?
Meanwhile, the doctor manages to steer the plane upwards and into safety and disconnect the Wi-Fi with his sonic screwdriver.
I was fine about that, actually, after he'd done that. Would a victory roll be a bit too showy-offy?
Yeah.
There's a beautiful scene in which the TARDIS lands on the banks of the River Thames. It's absolutely lovely, bright, sunny day, and I do love the way he walks out the TARDIS and uses his fez to get money. Yes. From,
and the living statue standing right next to it going, oh, I'm being upstaged.
Did you see the picture I posted a couple hours ago where the publicity picture has the living statue in a different location? From the publicity shot to the actual broadcast version.
Oh.
He moved a lot closer.
I know his pose is different, but I didn't notice that he had moved to a different location.
Yeah, he's right next to that tree in the publicity shot.
Yes.
Watch out for that tree.
Oh, there you go.
Take a look at the picture I put on Facebook.
Okay.
There you go,
okay.
Listeners. That's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. That's the 15th mention of it so far this episode, but join it.
Okay, got to give it to you. Yep, there it is, next to the tree. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well,
Reese
is right. I like the way that the guy looks disgusted.
But
Kirby, it looks like the post that he is in the real picture is behind the tree that he's standing next to. So it must be a whole different. You know.
Also, listeners, Kirby has actually posted the actual thing you shouldn't click on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, so I suggest you don't click on it just in case. It appears that Robert did earlier on in the podcast, but we managed to sort of download him back again.
For the first part of this episode.
No, that's what a strange noise was. Us trying to get him back again. Anyway, so the Doctor basically acquires a motorbike, which I think is his motorbike, as we find later on.
In the garage. How do you say garage?
Garage.
Garage.
Okay.
All right.
That's just correct pronunciation.
I love the way he hasn't got used to the new TARDIS yet, and he still has to go and find it. Oh, no, that way.
Yeah.
But the scene of him and Clara riding on that motorcycle reminded me of 60s and 70s movies, you know, where it's a do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, while you're watching people, you know, in the fields or riding motorcycles or whatever.
Now, I think it was you, Kirby, who posted a picture of the reflection in the Doctor's crash helmet. Now, I couldn't make out what it was.
Camera. I kept on seeing it too, because of Kirby.
It was that? Yeah. I zoomed in on that and I still couldn't see it.
You're as bad as me, Kirby.
You can see it quite clearly when you're actually watching the video, but I had trouble finding a really good place to freeze it. But you can definitely see it. Particularly
I've got it in HD on the Skybox.
Have you seen the behind the scenes where they showed where they were being dragged and there's this camera on a an extended arm which is moving from side to side?
No, I haven't seen that, no. But as I say, I have got it in HD on the Skybox, and I've also got a series pass for the HD version on iTunes, so I'm looking forward to having those on my iPad. And then, when I get Apple TV, back on the telly again. Carry on, Reese.
Yes, I have Apple
Speaking
TV.
Speaking of behind-the-scenes stuff, I'd love to see a version of Confidential on how they made the Spoonheads, because they were really interesting. Mm-hmm. Not quite speak, it's kind of interesting, the way they kept turning their head all the way around.
Yeah, was good. It's effective. Anyway, back to my
notes.
What are
you laughing at, Robert?
You, I suspect.
It's something your mum wrote.
Oh, what now?
No, it's a photo of your mum with Isabella.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she says, I look as though I want the loo.
Okay. So basically they're being tracked by the Miss Kislet and her cronies.
They mentioned that Elle's Court was an embarrassment.
Yes, was that in relation perhaps to the Doctor Who exhibition experience thing? Well, I don't know.
In relation to Elle's Court. The TARDIS that's on one of the streets there.
Oh, cool. I didn't realise that.
A picture of that, too.
Yeah. I bet you did. Kirby's back, everybody. Anyway.
As far as I know, that's the last remaining actual police box. In London. Right in front of
There's one by one of the... Oh, yeah. What, is it Earl's Court Station?
Yeah. Is it a working police box, or is it just there because it's something that is very London
It's got surveillance cameras on the top of it. I don't think it's got a telephone anymore.
Oh, okay.
All right, never mind. Yes, it is. Right, anyway,
that's what they were referring to, is that when they were scanning for the blue box...
I haven't actually seen that one, I must admit.
You can see them sending a team out there or something and then just finding it empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like you could see the doctor staying on the phone talking to Clara's grandfather, talking about the government because he's very angry about them and he's got pages on that. You could just see him sitting there like a counsellor almost.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. The doctor and Clara stop off at a coffee shop. They don't say which one it is, but it's probably Starbucks. Mm. The doctor gets coffee while Clara hacks into Celia Limbry's location. And Celia, a.k.a. Miss Kislet, uses the people in the cafe to very cleverly talk to the doctor, even the one on the telly, which I thought was rather good.
That one wasn't quite clever. It didn't quite make sense. Did everyone watching the news suddenly get frozen, or did they see her talking? Did they see her talking a one-sided conversation?
I think she had control of most people in the country, didn't she? So I didn't have a problem with that. They were all probably hypnotised at that point.
I love the fight between... about the laptop between the doctor and...
Back and forth,
I've got two hearts and 24 brains. 24?
That was my opening line. Talking of opening lines, this is Reese Parton, everybody.
I can't tell the future, I just work there.
This is Robert Haynes.
That was quick.
I'm a Time Lord, I'm an alien. I'm 1,000 years old and I can't fly a plane, can you? Good, we'll do it together.
I'm impressed that you didn't use... Everybody used their own ones. Mine was, of course, one you just referred to, which was From Space and the Future with Two Hearts and 27 Brains. So I'm quite pleased with everybody for that one. Well done.
Well, I thought we'd have all said, I don't know where I am.
I did ask Ben if he'd watched the Christmas special yet. He said yes. I said, oh, good, we'll spit some feedback off you. I haven't had any. carry on, Reese.
Speaking of not knowing where you are, I like the reveal.
That's what she said. Moffat
does. What? How is that? That? Never mind.
No idea.
Like carry on, Reese. Come on.
That's what she said.
I like it when they do that because it's in.
That's what she said.
Oh, right, shut up. And they're in the silence of the library, and the doctor asks why there are five of us in the room or something like that. It's kind of like one of those reveals. He says, I know this because I don't know where I am, and I like it when they have a big plot reveal like that. That's what she said, just betting you there.
Okay. I say you're talking about the conversation that they have, you know, for the doctor sent to get coffee, which is really good. And
now, one thing that surprised me was in the previews we saw Miss Kislet saying she's rather pretty, isn't she?
Yes.
And everyone was thinking that it was Clara. We all thought it was Clara, and it was the waitress.
Mm.
Yes,
she was
yes.
referring to.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, right. So, yeah. So the.
Oh, and I love the way everyone she took over with the Wi-Fi had such a posh accent.
Yes, that's what I'm. I do refer to this. It's I do like everybody's impression of Celia Imrie during this whole.
Especially the guy who was holding that burger or whatever it was in his
right,
hand.
Right, the end
and
of
says,
it.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, that doesn't seem very much like you.
Yes. Anyway, yes, Celia yes. uses people in the cafe to talk to the doctor. The walking base, a walking base station looking like the doctor uploads Clara, but she has already pinpointed the shard. You know, so she's both uploaded a little bit too late.
It's always been in the background of shot the whole episode.
Of course, yeah. she says that to the Spoonhead doctor. So how did the other doctor, how did the real doctor get that information?
He looked on the laptop.
He did.
Oh, yes.
And also, the shard, of course, reminded me of the James Bond movie, which was called... I can't remember what it's called now. The one that's a record by somebody... Mental block.
It's
just
really
been uploaded.
Really?
Skyfall.
That narrows it down, Adam.
Skyfall. Skyfall okay. is part yeah. of Skyfall, in which it's set on the shard. Anyway, and I love all the
yeah,
actors do. As I
right,
yes.
think it was marketing it as kind of a James Bond-esque episode.
Yeah, I suppose
saying,
it was,
oh,
really,
very
yeah.
James Bond-like.
Yeah. But I say, yes?
Who has, when Clara is taking over all the webcams, I was looking at that. I'm going, who has webcams that stick out the top of their monitor anymore?
Well, I'm sure a lot of computers. People do.
I do.
Ah, thank you,
on my desktop. Okay. On my desktop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, as I said earlier, I love all the actors doing impressions of Celia Imrie. The Doctor rides his anti-grav bike. Into Miss Kislett's office.
Yeah, I like your posting on that, Reese.
But he is actually a test selector. I mean, a walking base station.
Yes.
And she gets uploaded. The whole cloud gets downloaded after the Doctor increases the
obedience.
The obedience levels for the staff.
Actually, the way when she increases
for the plumbers,
increase paranoia
yeah.
earlier on in the episode, he said,
"Yeah,
did you hack me? Because you changed your mind. I hope I did. I like the little exchange and the whole idea that they could control paranoia and all that.
Yes.
And obedience,
I got
yeah.
the impression. I got the
and
impression
intelligence.
That particular guy came in and was really a plumber, but he was recruited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Clara. Has her hair stroked as she recovers, and then unit take over at the shard. There's no point where
I'm surprised they haven't heard of them. They had their signs.
Miss Kislett says, "Are you my mummy? Where's mummy?" or something like that.
Yeah,
When unit yeah. breaks into her
yeah.
office.
Yeah, because
yeah.
she has a final conversation with what we now know is a great intelligence. We get to see a very fleeting glimpse of Richard E. I wonder if he did that scene. While doing the Christmas special, because it's a very
was
very
it,
short
him?
Scene. It was Richard E. Yes, Richard
yeah,
E.
Yeah, it's Richard E. Grant.
And
it makes you realize that he must have taken over her when she was pretty young.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because
she
said, "Where's my mum?"
Been following for a while.
Yeah.
Now,
and he says
I,
goodbye
I,
to her.
I know I said this earlier, but when I didn't expect the great intelligence, and when I saw that, I went, "Yeah."
Mm.
Yeah,
I say before,
it.
I did expect, I did sort of think it might be, even though I'd not read any spoilers. I had a funny feeling when they said about, you know, souls being uploaded that, you know, that it might be the great intelligence. If it hadn't been, I would have thought, oh, well, I've got that one wrong. But on this occasion, it didn't surprise me.
Well, it did me, and it was a pleasant surprise because it was
yes,
nice
yes,
to not
good.
Have it, you know,
yeah.
hinted at ahead of time.
Yeah, I think Moffat has established that. It was the great intelligence character has been rather left in the dark for many years when it had a lot of potential, and we only got two stories. It's good that he's brought
it
back.
There's a bit more mystery with it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
too bad
not
that those two stories have so much missing from them.
Yeah, another good reason to bring it back. So basically, Clara then decides not to join the Doctor until tomorrow, which is
It's a time machine.
Yeah, he's already demonstrated that, you know, he takes her back for breakfast and she thinks it's going to be a long time and it's no time at all. Would you bring it forward? Well, no, you know, we just moved in time.
So tomorrow is here already. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, but now we just moved ahead.
Mm.
So, okay, now I'm going to, before obviously we go around the block to decide.
Can I just say that scene at the end, I loved the way it crossed from a quiet version of I Am the Doctor, pretty much just on a guitar, to the full orchestra playing it and just getting really excited. And it was,
I did enjoy the music in this episode, I must admit. Yes. And I thought, is Murray still doing it? And I did make a point looking at the titles to see if his name was on there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was quite pleased to see his name was still on the titles.
I think we'd have heard if he wasn't.
I know, but I just wanted to make absolutely
He's
sure.
He's been the only constant since it came back.
The spinny things at the top of the console around the roof, are those CGI or are they really
no,
there?
I wondered that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't visited the set, so I don't know.
No, I haven't.
The reflections look quite accurate, don't they?
I had the impression in the Christmas special that they were CGI, but this looked like it's really there.
Yeah, they do.
That's what I thought.
I'm not too pleased with them, actually. I quite like the rest of the TARDIS, and especially now that it's got a bit more
light. It
looks
like a carousel.
I'm not too pleased.
Uh-huh, it does. Very carousel-like.
All right, who just emailed me?
Well, it wasn't me. So, yes, as I say, I'm going to say what I think about this episode. I've watched it twice now. And what often happens with me with brand new episodes of Doctor Who, I really enjoy them because they're brand new, and you know, it rather gets clouded by certain things. So I watch it a second time and try and find some things wrong with it. And as you may notice, there's nothing sort of Mickey taking in my notes. And that rather alludes to the fact that I really enjoyed this
except
episode.
Except that stupid Doctor Who scene.
Doctor Who?
No, I didn't bother me. Didn't bother me. I like the way she says
me.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either, no.
I like the way she says it. It sounds like she is actually asking a question, which is what it's supposed to be. That's fine.
When you go back to the Asylum of the Daleks and the way he was saying it himself as he was spinning around the console... Yeah. You know, we were not too happy with that, but to hear him say that now, well, that explains why he was saying it back then, because he doesn't.
And also, this is the 50th year, and I think this question, Doctor Who, is going to be a big important part of the 50th anniversary, part of this painting thing, because it's always been the question.
Dr. Bob.
I'm sorry, but I think that is going to be the big crutch to it.
If you name him, the show won't be called Doctor Who anymore, because we won't be asking
him
that question.
Yeah. They're not going to name him.
I agree with you, Adam.
They're
going
to reiterate the fact that it's
I've actually
Doctor
got... I kind of jumped to conclusions here, but there are two questions going on here. There's
it's just
Doctor
a jump
Who
to the
and
left.
Clara Who.
Yeah. Yeah.
Step to the right.
Yeah. So anyway, I've just gone through the fact that that I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. One of Moffat's best ones since he took over. Yep. Really enjoyed it, and it's different. It's certainly a different Moffat-y story than we've had. Yeah. I know. I will say that maybe the spoonheads. I think Moffat probably thinks are a bit scarier than they actually are, because obviously, as I said, Isabella wasn't freaked out by this episode, and I think this is probably the first Moffat story episode that she hasn't been. Or found anything scary about, but this is really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
They
I don't know
felt
if
a
would
bit
like
too Tesselector like and a bit too Prisoner Zero like, and they weren't spooky for me.
No, they weren't spooky, but
they also reminded me of
what
the things in the library, the nodes.
Yes, yeah, so I said.
Yeah, not a library, it's a building.
Yes, thank
that's
you.
Probably that's probably the same sort
love
of
when people agree with me.
Donna Noble has been saved.
Donna Noble has been saved.
Can I just say, I love it when people agree with me, because it does rather reiterate my fact that I've mentioned on previous episodes of this podcast that I am right.
Sometimes.
And that's what it all comes down often. To.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen
often. Okay. So basically, I liked it. Kirby, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. Another proof that I'm right.
I've seen it 3 times now. I just keep seeing more and more stuff. Had no real... quibbles at all. The whole uploading souls to the internet is a little far-fetched, but so what?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Exactly. other than that, I've been reading some reviews online, and other people aren't liking it as much. And I don't care what other people think. Why? I love it.
It's Doctor Who. And I'll tell you what I will say, though, that it has got a different atmosphere to it. All these most recent episodes of Series 7 certainly feel different than previous series.
Definitely,
And like I say, this half feels different.
Could you just say that number again, Adam? Could you just say that number again so that you could tell the marketing people who are saying it's a new series or season, no, it's part two of one we've already started.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, Rhys. It even feels different to the series we had last year. It's supposedly the same one.
Every episode last year to be different, and it's done it again, I think.
Yeah. Although the title sequence, they're not doing that thing they did with the first half, with each title sequence having its
own. The logo was a bit different.
It was different to the first half, but then we had a brand new title sequence for the Christmas special, didn't we? And
what was that?
By any chance, Rob?
Chicken.
But yeah, anyway. So that was Kirby. Who's next? Mary, because you were on quite early in the show. What did you think of it?
Well, as I was watching it the first time, I kept waiting for that, the big bang, the big show-stopping kind of episode that they were treating us to the first half of this season 7.
Series.
And it just wasn't series slash
potato
season.
Potato tomato tomato.
And it went all the way to the end, and it hit me that, well, that big show-stopping thing was never going to happen. So it was on the second round, you know, that I appreciated it more. Because the first time through, I kept thinking, okay, when is it going to ramp up and become the big thing that it was at the beginning of the season series 7? And it never was. But what I've realized within myself is that, but you know what? I think I enjoy this more because it's a quieter, more intelligent episode. It's not.
I thought that of the Power of Three.
Yeah. It's not too complicated either, is it?
It is complicated. Story. The more you look at it, the more you get out of it. But of course, for me, only on two viewings, I got a lot more out of the second viewing than I did the first.
The 45-minute went really quickly, and if it goes fast really quickly, it's an indication I've really enjoyed the story.
And I'm anxious to see it on some other venue, like the DVD or Netflix, when I see what I missed, because BBC America takes out a lot of stuff for their commercials.
Gits.
So my overall impression is I really liked it, but the first time through I felt a little let down because it wasn't the big show-stopping thing that the other ones were.
I'd agree.
And I think that may be where these reviews are coming from, is they're not, it's not a stand up and cheer episode.
I've seen, I watched it on BBC America, and I just might have seen it a different way. And there was nothing. There was nothing cut.
Oh, except, really?
That's good.
They threw the commercials in, but there was actually no missing scenes.
Okay. They don't tend to do that apparently on the first showing, do they?
I think they do it
on subsequent ones.
Do they?
Because what I've seen on Netflix, the episodes, from that have been on BBC America before, there are things that are in that, the Netflix ones that were not on BBC America, and I blame the commercials.
Ah.
Yeah.
For me, the most remarkable one was in that very first 11th hour episode with the time that he spends with Amy and all the foods. Well, when I first saw that on BBC America, the scene was not nearly as long. He only went through about three or four foods. Whereas when I saw it on Netflix, he goes through a lot of foods with her. So, to me, that's one of the, outstanding things that made a difference.
I was just about to ask, do they choose good moments to put in ad breaks, or do they just kind of chuck them
probably
in there?
Probably not.
They were in okay places.
As I was saying, I was watching Time Team the other day, because I've got this new Sky on-demand thing, and the on-demand on the Sky is not too bad, because you don't get adverts. They do tend to cut out adverts, whereas if you watch on-demand on the computer, you've got to watch the adverts on commercial thingies. On this thing, it had Time Team, and it went through up to its first break, and then it did its little little advert sting thing, and then it came back again, and then 5 minutes later they just threw in an advert, and I thought, hey, what's going on here? Which was really weird. Yeah. But there you go. Obviously, on this occasion, they did have an advert. But anyway, but it's just weird how they threw the advert after they'd actually put the advert sting. Weird. Carry on. Yes.
I have another random observation, pedantic observation.
What for this episode?
Yes.
Kirby, are you in pedantic observations?
What?
This is a change of character.
Clara, when she figures out through Facebook where they are in the shard, and she says they're on floor 65.
56.
Floor 65.
65.
And floor 65 is the top of the residential apartments section, not the office.
Really well worth waiting for.
Oh,
thank you.
Wow.
For that.
Yeah.
Did he mention that the castle they used was the one from?
I've just managed to disguise a fart while creaking my chair. Thanks, Robert, for creating that.
I've always
suspected that chair.
No, but that's the first time I've used it to disguise one. Well done.
Well, no, it's not.
Yes, it is. Be quiet. Right, who's next? Rhys, what did you think?
Oh, the first time I saw it, there were bits that I loved. The Doctor and Clara and Celia Inmarie, I thought they were all excellent. And the cameo by Richard E. Grant, I think he's always brilliant. But the rest of it seemed rather flat for me. And I watched it the second time, and I think I'd gotten over the giddiness that, oh, it's new Doctor Who, I'll enjoy it, it's wonderful. Yeah. And I just kind of sat down to find some more things that I liked, like good lines. I didn't notice the would a victory roll be a bit too showy offy the first time, and I liked that line.
Yeah.
But it did have a different atmosphere to it, and it seemed a little bit cold to me, and it also seemed very much like Sherlock. Lots of ways of filming it. That's very Sherlock. Probably don't know, Adam, but in Sherlock, specifically the first episode.
We had that discussion.
Okay, but I didn't think it was clever to have the hovering writing when people were connecting to the Wi-Fi, like Sherlock, where they had their text appear above their head when they got a text message.
Yeah.
And especially when Celia Emery's character was talking to the client, that reminded me very much of the first three episodes when Moriarty was leaving messages for his little cronies, and I thought it was a bit too heavy-handed and a bit too much like Sherlock.
That's true,
right? Fair enough. I quite liked it, but I mean, I think I wouldn't like if it's, they carried on doing it forever. But as far as this series goes, it's okay. Just don't.
I'm saying
don't
this.
Make it carry on.
I'm saying this, getting annoyed at it after the news that we're going to have a big break and possibly for him to go and write and produce Sherlock. Yeah. And he's just written a Sherlock episode here, it feels like. And I'm just a little bit annoyed at it because we've heard.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a fair point. Fair point. Robert, what did you think?
Well, I quite enjoyed it. I was wondering whether that was Richard E. Grant when I saw it, because I sort of had no one to ask, is that really him?
Yes, it was.
Well, I wondered too, but I looked in the credits, the following credits, and that confirmed what I wondered.
Oh, well, you know what they did with our credits? They did that stupid thing of advertising other shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's bloody annoying.
Yeah, our BBC America credits were pretty horrible. I mean, they went really fast, and they had the ad for Orphan Black on the left-hand side, and then the credits went... Blah, 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 blah. Yes. And then the BBC America, at that point, did not show next week's preview, which disappointed me. I mean, I've seen it.
They did not, yeah.
And it looks cool. I wish I could see it.
So it's pretty good. Yeah. So once I had taped it, then I was freezing the credits to try to see who some of the people were. Yeah.
That's really unfair for the crew. If you're new to Doctor Who and you wanted to show up to your friends, look at this, I'm in the credits. There's my, oh wait, they shrunk me down. I can't find my name. Where am I?
Whoosh, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for us people who actually watch the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still remember the first credits in a movie I ever sat through. 2001.
Space Odyssey.
Oh, they go on forever. They go on forever.
And I've only watched it once, by the way.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, thank you, be quiet. Anyway, right, so anything but any more to say about this episode before we move to feedback?
Did Robert give it? Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did. He hated it. Clearly you weren't listening, Mary. I'm only joking.
Clearly I wasn't.
I could mention the fact that whenever there's any version of I Am the Doctor, I started to go, oh, yes, goosebumps.
Yeah.
Tapping.
I'm just doing that one. I love that theme.
Gorgeous.
He keeps reinventing it, doesn't he?
Have you just looked at my picture on Skype?
No. That's when I needed a bucket. The music's gorgeous.
Is it gorgeous?
Yeah, the music's gorgeous.
Kirby?
Yes?
Kirby, you know how you get those symbols?
Kirby.
Robert?
All you need...
Are we talking... Robert, are we talking percussion again?
All we need is a little notch in between. Kirby. Right?
Soft.
Kirby.
Yeah, go back to bed.
No, don't go back to bed.
Are you getting
I like how you put those symbols and Jeff Fidel put it's season in High Gallifreyan.
I'm just telling you that it's season. Ha!
I didn't come up with those. I found them someplace else on the net.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you did a good job. Maybe they did too. You may have gone to the same source they did.
They're close to what it actually says on the guy's sign, but so often when people are looking for on their Wi-Fi, it's not the same symbols. They're similar symbols, but not the same.
Yeah, I even saw that on the episode. Yeah.
Oh, we're all quiet for a few seconds. Then. Yeah,
everyone's to think for a second. So, we'll contemplate that.
Anyway, I think this is a good time for a bit of an advert. Welcome to the world of football mad Troy Brown, a typical 15-year-old with a loving family, a tight-knit group of friends, and a nice house in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Materially, he has a comfortable life, but then no hormone-ridden, angst-filled teenager would ever describe their life as comfortable, and Troy was no exception. Plagued as he was, with the whole world is against me complex, no girlfriend syndrome, and the pains of requited love or lust, and the usual hoard of teenage frustrations and obsessions. A privileged peek into his private, warts and all, 2003 diary reveals transformation of his boring, ordinary life as Troy tries to negotiate his many twists and turns in what was to become the most extraordinary year of his life. Fraught with family secrets, misunderstandings, dangerous liaisons, challenging adventures, shocking realities and unexpected outcomes, interspersed with teenage insights into the state of the world, including war, crime, death and disease. As you travel with Troy on his one-year life-changing journey, you will undoubtedly laugh at the adolescent humour, cry at his misfortune, sympathise with his plights and empathise with his feelings as he works through his personal traumas and is forced to learn by his mistakes. Be warned, however, those of a sensitive disposition may also be shocked by some of the diary's content, possibly offended. But you are, after all, delving into the grimy mind of a pubescent youth. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by Adam Pearson. Available as a paper book or as an e-book from Amazon and iTunes. And, if you're interested in the sequel, From Troy to Man, Troy Brown resumes his diary. He is 17, and he desperately wants to leave home and start his life as a bachelor. He has just been dumped by his first proper girlfriend, and not because he has accidentally cheated on her twice during their relationship. She wants to play the field. Most of his friends have moved away from the island, and life out of school proves to be quite a challenge for him. Troy is forced to grow up because of his incredible ability to make mistakes. His mistakes, as usual, are of a sexual nature, and the consequences of unprotected sex begin to appear, seemingly out of thin air. Faced with fatherhood and separation from his children, Troy's attitude to life changes forever. His main concern isn't football anymore. It is how the hell is he going to be able to be a real father to his children, and how many children has he got? Of course, his life is full of the other problems associated with day-to-day life. Will he ever find a true love? Will he ever find a job that he is truly happy in? Can he solve a murder mystery? Can he avoid being murdered himself? Will he ever be able to be a true father to his children? All of these questions are answered in this book. If you thought that being a 15-year-old virgin was enough of a rollercoaster ride for Troy, read on. This year and a half of his life may leave you needing to ingest a large dose of motion pills. From Troy to Man is available as an ebook from Amazon and from iTunes. If you're a fan of quizzes, and happened also to be a fan of the Beatles, why not buy The Beatles Quiz Book by Adam Pearson? It is available as an ebook from Amazon or from iTunes.
When I was watching the interview of Matt Smith on The Nerdist, he was asked, how do you find your relationship different between Karen Gillan and Jenna Louise Coleman, or as their characters on the show? And he surprised me. He said that his relationship to the character of Amy Pond was more like a father. And I thought, father? Really? He said, because he's known her, the doctor has known her since she was a little girl. So he's always looked at her kind of as a child that he had to protect. Whereas the Clara Oswald character is a puzzle to him. He doesn't think of her so much, as a human that he can have a personal relationship with, but she's a puzzle that he's to solve. So it's kind of an impersonal thing between him and this Clara Oswald. So I thought those were very revealing comments on his part.
That's what she said. Oh, yes.
Has anybody got any ideas closer to who they think she is?
Well, I came up with one that she's possibly part of the TARDIS that splintered through time, because we still don't know why it exploded in the Big Bang. And maybe the shell broke, obviously, the outside of it, because he found a piece of it, but maybe the essence that ended up in the Doctor's wife ended up embodying Idris or whatever.
Hey!
Mm-hmm.
I knew you'd go there. I was trying to think of a word to avoid that, but you went there.
I know.
I think maybe it was splintered through time as well, so she incarnates as Clara. I don't know, that's just...
Somebody also said Cal. You know Cal from...
I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Maybe posted that on the Facebook a while ago.
Anyway, right, shall we get back to the show? Right, Mary, you were going
to
say?
Oh, I wanted to give an official welcome to two new members to the 20 megabyte... Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Should we call it the 20 megabyte family?
Yes. That's a good idea. I like that.
That sounds good.
We now have Jefferson Lee Eng, who joined us, and I hope got a lot of good welcome messages. And then we have a couple, Jessica Burke and Anthony Burge, that were added. And there's I think they were friends of Matthew, or are friends of Matthew Kressel. And they have
a book out.
Yeah, they have a book out about, what is the book? I'm trying to find it on here. I think it has to do with like the mythology of Doctor Who.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Please join it, everybody. It's a good little group, even though, you get a lot of, finer detail from Kirby. No, I'm the only joking, Kirby. Keep up the finer detail. I have some
that's
feedback.
What she said.
No, feedback.
No, that's
goes,
what she said.
Some of it goes like this. This is from Patrick Bishop.
Hello, everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for The Bells of St. John. We have new Doctor Who. I just watched it literally like 5 minutes ago. I just finished watching the episode, and it was great. I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. Everything from the opening titles I thought were really cool, with the apparition of Matt Smith, like they had in the
Christmas
old,
special.
Doctor Who titles. Mm. And it's slightly different from series, the first half of the series. I like the changes.
Same
one. Like the galaxy field and everything at the beginning. So very cool, very cool. The story, I didn't know where it was going. I knew we were going to find out who the big bad was at the end. And it was a nice reveal that it was the GI, the Great Intelligence. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool, like how it kind of rolls yeah, into the Christmas episode. That being the same villain. Lots of little flourishes I like. I loved when the Doctor put back on his normal attire and, you know, pulled the bow tie out of mothballs, you know, and used the fez as a way to as to collect his money, his panhandling money. And also how you see how he gives the fez away. At the end.
Yes.
So yes.
He likes fezzes. He never keeps them.
But I love everything about it. Clara was great. I like her character seems to be a slightly toned down in the manic nature of how our character is portrayed before. You kind of saw a little bit of it when she's hacking into the computer terminal and she's got that lightning fast delivery. But overall, I think she's great. I think the chemistry between them is really good. You know, like a lot of people, I have this pet peeve. I didn't like the whole Doctor Who thing. Like, they kind of wear that out, I think. But hey, you know what?
Yes.
It's a new episode, so yes. I'm not going to complain too much. I still loved it.
I am.
concept was good. I really didn't know where it was going or why the people were being uploaded and. So, yeah, all around a great episode, and I can't wait to see how he convinces her to travel with him, since he has to go back, of course, the next day and convince her. So I wonder if that's how it's going to be. He's going to have to convince her each week to stay, or is she going to be a series of one-off adventures? And also, she didn't die. I was half expecting
Well, she nearly did.
Yes.
Episode. Yeah, she did in the episode.
And the guy from City of Death. You know, she's kind of a... mixture of those both those characters in the past. Anyway, great episode. Loved it. I'll try to keep this brief. Hope you guys had a great week and hope you guys enjoyed the episode too. This is Patrick signing off until next week.
Oh, I like the sound of that, Patrick. Oh, until next week. He's going to give
thank
us some
you.
More feedback.
Yeah.
There's something about Clara that he mentioned that he liked how smart she was and all that. It occurred to me that if it's true that everybody went back to the factory settings, which is what the Celie Emmerich character, you know, hit, everybody back to factory settings. I wonder if Clara still retains all that computer knowledge or if she goes back to normal. I guess we'll see that in future episodes.
Absolutely. Another one of the many intriguing aspects of Moffat.
Yeah.
Story
arcs. I think you have to sidle away from Kirby's opinion there, because he would have forgotten that if she did get returned to factory settings.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
Did anybody make mention about when Clara says about the, you know, if you've got a mobile telephone, and he says,
you
can describe it like that. Yeah,
that's a surprisingly accurate description.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love that. Mobile telephone, yes.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
Right. It's wonderful.
Yes.
I wonder if this will work. Give it a try. I don't know if it's going to download or play it, so we'll just see what happens.
Download the cloud?
No, it's downloading it. Hang on.
Well, greetings to the 20 megabytes. Happy Easter to all of you. I hope you haven't stuffed yourself full of too many eggs. I hope the kids, I think you've got kids as well. They haven't all been sick everywhere.
No, they haven't yet.
You should know better as well. So I'm hoping you have the same. But hope you've all had a pleasant day. We've been to church and very nice service indeed. And we've been cleaning up the garden and washed the car and found that the car's grey. We sort of knew term colour before then. Anyway. More important things. Last night's episode, watched it about 10 o'clock after coming out from the night out.
Me too.
A couple of beers, so it's I thought it started very well with the man talking and wondering where it's gonna be, and you see him disappearing into the millions of other screens. And then we've got the new tile sequence. Well, the sequence is alright, the music's rubbish, isn't it? I mean, I'll be interested to hear what Reese, you know, as the musical expert here, what he thinks of it. But, no.
He is a musical expert.
I saw some of the comments on Facebook about that, and I do agree, it's definitely a retrograde step. So, yeah. hopefully that'll get dumped fairly, very quickly and have something better in place. The episode itself, though, well, Gemma Louise Coleman is going to be absolutely delightful, isn't she? I mean, she's very perky, she's very bright, and she's very, very in your face, isn't she? Right. I thought the way she handled the doctor coming to the door, and the doctor's adamant that she'd know him, and she didn't, but... And then when she pops out to speak to him at the
TARDIS... She pops out, that's what she said.
I think that's someone there who is very much open-minded, very much prepared to accept the doctor at face value, which a lot of people aren't prepared to do. So I think she's going to be one who's going to say, you know, going to be one that's faced a new situation. It's going to be here, right, well, that's what's happening, right, let's get on with it. You know, she's not going to be shying away from anything there. So I think, yes, Gemma Louise Coleman could be one of the best ones. If anyone reads The Big Issue, there's a piece on it this week. I picked one up yesterday with a piece about Doctor Who and talking to Gemma Louise Coleman. For those who don't know what The Big Issue is, it's a magazine that's produced and sold by homeless people. I know I've actually, I do buy one regularly in London, I know it's all around Britain, and I've also seen it in Australia when we were in Melbourne two years ago now. We saw there, I don't know how in the States, but it's, if you do buy it, it's a very worthwhile cause, because it goes for somebody who's trying to sell to make them life better.
Yeah.
So do get it, that's a good read as well. The thing that really intrigued me was when the doctor came out, he said it wasn't the doctor, it was the one who had the, almost like a satellite dish on the back of his head.
Tesselector.
So hang on, where did he come from? Because there were two doctors, and I thought these people were taken over and turned. So that wasn't explained where that had come from. But I thought the whole premise of the episode was good. You've got the sudden reference to the great intelligence, that's all the way through, so obviously that's going to be an ongoing theme. So does that mean we get to the Yeti again? I wonder what they'll look like.
Could do.
Oh, yes.
No doubt. I thought that the doctor coming out and doing his busking bit on the South Bank, it was interesting that's just about where we were early on today. Yesterday, we spent the day in London. Obviously, it was on a Sunday, so there's always some people around there. But I wonder what he had all the money collected. Obviously, I was being a representative, of course. However, I thought yes, it's a good start to the episode. There's a new series, or half series, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, second half.
Looking forward to seeing what's going on. I missed the prequel. I managed not to catch it, but I do have caught the prequel to next week's. I also got on Pond Life for some reason. Oh. I find myself watching that again. So anyway, a good start, apart from the crap music. I certainly think JLC is going to turn out to be very, very good indeed. And we'll see what comes out. So, happy Easter. Bye for now.
And happy Easter to you too, Andy. That was Andy Nunny. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Andy.
Andy and
Dawn. You didn't announce ahead of time who that was from, so...
No, I thought I'd leave it as a surprise. One, mainly because he sent it to our old-fashioned email address, and I wasn't. I didn't know whether it was going to work or not. And I was like, I don't listen to these messages before, so I'd like we all to hear them for the first time. But thanks, Andy and Dawn, for another... Yeah.
Well,
occasional message.
I'll quickly cover the theme tune. First off, I'm not the musical expert. The musical expert is Dr. Phil. But,
yes, if you are.
Yes. You are the musical expert on this show.
Well, I guess on this show. I quite enjoyed the fact that the original theme, you can hear it a lot more in that one from way back at the beginning, but it is very strangely mixed. You can hear lots of different instruments.
Is it different to the Christmas theme tune?
No, it's about the same as the Christmas one.
Seemed different to me.
I listened to it again recently, and it just feels... I like the making the original theme a bit more present in it, but other than that, it does seem very rambly for a theme tune.
Seems a bit more muted, if you ask me. Not as bombastic.
Muted. It doesn't... You know, when I hear it, and I always respond emotionally to music, it doesn't get me all, you know, yay, this is a new episode, like the tune they did before.
So I like it at the beginning, the bits with the trumpets that go dun dun da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the one before it too, so it's just a carryover.
Okay.
But it's all right. I prefer the visual for that bit.
Yeah, the visuals are great. Yeah. The music isn't the best of the modern versions of the theme tune, but it's certainly not the worst of all versions of the theme tune.
Ah, for sure.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right.
All right. McCoy era.
But the I must say the visuals are stunning, especially the bit where it looks very much like a red version of the Tom Baker flying down the time vortex thing. I love that bit.
I have no problem with any version of the theme tune.
Okay.
Really? I have to take Robert to task there. I really like the McCoy one. It's a bit mysterious.
Yeah. I do too. But I like every version of the theme tune. I don't.
Really?
But the first one, the original Delia Derbyshire version is my favorite, but all the rest are, I just like them.
No, well, my favorite is the colour TV version of it. Well, basically the latter John Pertwee and sort of most of
with the diamond,
Tom Baker.
That version of it.
Always used to put the hairs on the back of my neck used to stand up when the old title sequence started with that little strip of the blue tunnel, which then opened, fanned out to fill up the screen, just as a diddle-a-dum, diddle-a-dum, and it just is. It was beautifully done, for the first diddle-a-dum was that little strip, a little slightly open part of the tunnel, and then it was spread out like a fan for the rest of it, and then you get the sort of whoosh sound as the TARDIS appeared. Hairs on the back of my neck, and every time I play a classic Tom Baker story, I just will not play it without. That's what used to annoy me about early releases of the video, when they used to, do the abridged version. You'd only get versions, they didn't have that. I used to just like watch them all the way through. But you know, you get the titles, music, and title sequence with the words and everything. Yeah. I used to love it, the whole package.
I've probably got three favorite versions of the theme. I mean, I just love the basic theme that you could just tap along pretty much anywhere. But the original one, because that's where it all started. Peter Howell's one for the Davison era.
Yeah, that was okay.
Kind of another like bass, added another bass one. Note to it.
That was okay.
And then I liked pretty much all the new ones, especially the violin bit. That kind of, you got the original theme, the dun 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 dun. I mentioned it before. You get the violins, which is a counter theme in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds really cool.
The one I liked, the newer ones, were probably the Series 4 theme tune, because you could still hear the fact they've mixed in some of the Delia Derbyshire ooze and some of the original Sting, which I don't think exists in the current mix.
Actually, I like it at the end of that. You've also got the original final bit of it where it just goes by the end of the theme, something like that. Yeah. It's quite good.
Yeah,
I liked the series Season 4 one, but it was very eclectic listening to it again after just watching the Matt Smith episodes when we went back to review Tenet's era. It was very eclectic, but it sounds pretty good.
Okay, right, we got some more audio feedback. Guess who this one's from?
Hello, Twinkie McBat Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. I lost an hour of sleep last night.
Lost an hour of sleep?
Jet lag time is jet lag for people who do not travel. There's equality for you. The Bells of St. John by Stephen Moffat. Series 7B. I don't think there will ever be a Series 221B. Google was recently in trouble for gathering Wi-Fi information. Clara mistakes the TARDIS for a snogging booth.
Yes.
One of the Wi-Fi zombies searching for the TARDIS says, "Are we sure this time?" I was caught with an embarrassment.
Yeah.
There's only one police box in London, at Earl's Court Underground Station.
There is.
How many times have we had zombies in New Who? I expect Kirby would know.
He would.
Future friend of the podcast, Celia Imrie, is in this episode.
She is.
It seems her character, Miss Kislet, was captured by the Great Intelligence as a little girl. The woman in the shop gave Clara the phone number of the TARDIS. Sally Sparrow worked in the shop.
She did.
In Blink by Stephen Moffat.
Nice one.
She did.
Or perhaps the woman in the shop is Clara's future self.
Yeah.
Clara's body died when she was uploaded, but that was temporary. I suppose she's used to dying by now. The previous episode was The Angels Take Manhattan. There was an e-book, The Angels Kiss by Melody Malone. Bells of St. John will have an e-book available. Summer Falls by Millie Williams.
Yes.
If it is 8:40 in England now, then I expect it will be 3:40 a.m. in Perth, 6:40 in Melbourne, and 8:40 a.m. down a hobbit hole in New Zealand.
I've got to put the cat out. It's on fire.
Laugh now.
Yes, thank you once again.
That was Minnie Bannister. That was Minnie Bannister. Didn't I see you on the stairs?
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
I have to correct him. The last episode was actually the Snowmen, not the Angels to Take Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He must have been asleep during Christmas.
Now, the best theory I've heard in regards to this girl in the shop, I think it's most likely to be River, and I shall explain why I think this, because...
she's got me back.
Well, she's more likely to have met Clara and know who Clara is. I don't think Sally Sparrow, although she understands Tommy Wimeness, will know who Clara is. River's more likely to seek Clara out and give her this phone number, because she knows that she must find the Doctor, or she must help the Doctor find her, and vice versa. So I think it's most likely to be River. I may be wrong, but that's who I would like to think it probably is.
Yeah, but I think he puts out some tempting thoughts, you know, that it might be Sally, or it's a good theory. Claire's future self.
Or it could be, but very unlikely, it could be Rose's mum, Jackie. But she's in the alternative universe, so it can't be her either.
Oh, yeah.
I just took it as the TARDIS doing what she normally does, and, you know, taking him where he needs to go, just kind of reverting the call and bringing it to her and then bringing him to the phone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, like the little boy who, you know, was crying out, you know, for help. He got it. Yeah, he got the message. So. Mm.
But, yeah, although, great feedback.
It could be
help
the TARDIS.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I'm not Obi-Wan Kenobi, Robert. Obviously, you've sort of fallen into a sort of mid-sleep situation now.
Speaking of Obi-Wan Kenobi, happy birthday, Ewan McGregor.
Thank you for that. And,
he's in Perth at the moment, Ewan McGregor.
And speaking of Easter, happy Easter, everybody. I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show, because not everybody was here. Oyster?
Yeah.
Oyster cards?
Oyster.
Oh, okay, right. Before we move on to this week's edition of that wonderful quiz show, you'll never get this one. Mary, who's our sponsors?
Oh, you do this to me.
Mary. No pressure.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay, let's see. It's whowon.co.uk, right?
You're starting to disappoint me now.
Whowon.co.uk?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is it, Kirby?
Whowon.co.uk.
What was it, Mary?
Never mind. Right, we have air balls, priced at £3.99.
Air balls?
Yeah, air balls. Let's have a look and see what they are.
Am I hearing hair balls?
Air balls, as in air. They're little bouncy balls with little Doctor Who things in them. I've recently acquired load of Royal Mail paraphernalia in relation to Doctor Who. Very expensive. Over £35 worth. If you include the set of stamps that I bought as well. But certainly something I'm going to keep very safe.
Have you seen the pictures of Tom Baker, Peter Davison, and Paul McGann holding up the pictures of the stamp?
I have not.
No,
I haven't. Anyway, moving on. Back to whowon.co.uk. You will. Post them on the first surprise. Post them on the Facebook group.
Are we having the quiz first, or are we going to have
news? We're doing whowon.co.uk. Then news, then the quiz. I was just saying, later on in the 20 megabyte podcast, or coming up, you'll never get this one. But meantime, Doctor Who figures. You get Doctor Who figures, toys and gifts, bath set, memorabilia, which is a new thing I haven't seen before on the whowon.co.uk website. DWM458, which is a picture of Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman on the cover, and DWM Special 34, Missing Episodes First Doctor, which has got a lovely picture of William Hartnell on the cover. Forever Autumn, Price of Paradise, Sting of the Zygons, Wet World and Wooden Heart by Morris Mark et al. I think it's a load of books. $24.99 and Inflatable Daleks. That's a must, isn't it? You must have an inflatable Dalek. Let's have a look. This says what colour they are, but not what. Beg your pardon? Doesn't say what size they are. But yeah, they're the sort of Power Ranger style ones. You've got a red one, a white one, a yellow one, and a blue one. We've got water wrigglers. Lots of new stuff, actually. If you go to the whowon.co.uk website, you better see exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, as I said a few moments ago, yes. Now we're talking news, aren't we? No, it's news. And now, news. There was a prequel to The Bells of St. John, in which obviously the Doctor in a traditional garb, wearing his, obviously, I'm presuming this is before he went back to the 12th, 13th century, whatever it was, and changed his costume. sorry about that. And he talks to a little girl on the swing, which I immediately realised was going to be Clara.
I didn't, and my girls all made fun of me because I thought it was a surprise at the end.
Well, I've just lost my Doctor Who coaster. Doctor Who Adventures has been relaunched. Always get a free gift on the cover of the Doctor Who Adventures. Ford and Hines to guest on the Norton radio show. So that's Carol Ann Ford and Fraser Hines will be joining Graham Norton, BBC Radio 2, on Saturday the 6th of April. I bet I'll forget about that one. What?
Ford and Hines sounds like a TV show, an investigative TV show.
Good shout. Interesting that a particular investigative TV show starring a couple of Doctor Who actresses is coming back very soon. Can't remember its title, but one of them played a character in Idris. Midnight, and the other one played Idris, yes. I can't remember their names. Leslie...
Sharp?
I can't remember
her name. Probably should. She played the TARDIS.
Yeah. She got a funny name, but I can't remember it. Mill TV to close. The Mill has announced that its UK visual effects office is expected to close at the end of April due to a downturn in VFX requirements within the industry. Sad.
It's because Doctor Who's not making any more episodes, so they're not getting any
money. Moffat's fault. It's Sherlock's fault. Yeah. It's Moffat stroke Sherlock's fault, then, clearly.
Moffat stroking Sherlock?
Oh, be quiet.
So who's going to do the effects for the 50th?
Exactly. Somebody with a puppet on a string.
maybe they've already done the effects, and they're going to completely stop the show once the 50th is done, and that's it.
Get out, you strange man.
I wouldn't have thought so when Matt Smith's already said that he's going to be doing the Doctor Who in 2014.
Exactly.
Could be a cover story, could be Moffat lying, but it has been said. Sarah Jane Adventures arrives on Love Film. So if you've got Love Film, you can watch some brilliant episodes of Sarah Jane Adventures. There's a big finish Easter offer. Love and War, Dark Eyes, Unit Dominion, and Voyage to Venus / Voyage to the New World. Now, the prices are being rolled back. It doesn't actually state what the prices are being rolled back to, but they're on offer if you want to go to the Big Finish website. Doctor Who wins Institutional Peabody Award. Don't know what that's to do with anybody. I know that before, so I don't have to read it.
No, I don't know what that is.
Ooh.
What was that?
I've just got a Gmail from Ian Baxman, whose wedding I filmed yesterday. Hope it wasn't a "you didn't film enough, you lazy bugger" email. Doctor Who spoilers. Do you want to go? Shall I read the Doctor Who spoilers bit?
Well, yes. No. They are thinking that the Tennant and Piper thing was a spoiler.
Not thinking.
Okay. It says David Tennant and John Hurt to star in 50th anniversary. John Hurt.
Piper.
Hasn't he already done a voice? Has he already done a voice in Doctor Who somewhere along the line?
He was
a dragon in Merlin, yes, so it had to happen at some point. BBC have now confirmed that the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, will star in the 50th anniversary special of Doctor Who. I should hope so too. Hey, Reese.
Now, I think that it's not going to be the 10th Doctor.
It'll be the Metacrisis Doctor.
Metacrisis, yeah.
But maybe. Hey, I come up with a theory. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, he's a Metacrisis Doctor who is a human. Now, what if he got a chameleon arch? Surely that would then revert him to Time Lord, wouldn't it?
No.
Yes. Right,
no. Would you need another Doctor there with the Time Lord essence? No, yes, you would. Yes, you would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes.
I'll be quiet.
Oh, yes.
It's a science fiction, fantasy TV show. The news leaked earlier today that thanks to a mistake in the distribution of Doctor Who magazine, which saw subscribers receive their issue 5 days early, forcing the BBC to issue a hurried press release, Tennant will join current stars Matt Smith and General Louise Coleman in the special episode. As like I said, I should hope so too. Also joining the cast will be the 9th and 10th Doctor's companion, Billy Piper. So it's not really a spoiler because it's well and truly out there. So it's a bit of a shame.
It is a spoiler.
It was a spoiler for a few hours.
Yeah.
It's still a spoiler because we know they're returning. Okay. We're not discovering it in an episode.
But the thing is, though, it would have been more of a spoiler for them not to be in it for me. It's all gone quiet over there. I'm not going to go for the media reaction of the Bells and St. John. But 6.2 million overnight viewing figures, pretty good, because that's going to jump up by a good 1 to 2 million. And Doctor Who Summer Falls by Amelia Williams. Is it going to be a book? You bet it is.
Yeah. There's more news that hasn't popped up on the Doctor Who news page yet.
Okay, tell me about it. Come on.
Just today, the Hugo Award nominees were announced for, which those are given away at the World Science Fiction Convention, which is at the end of August. And for the Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form, 3 Doctor Who episodes have been nominated.
Wow.
Angels Take Manhattan, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I hope it doesn't win. The Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah.
And The Snowman.
That's one. That's the best.
Yeah.
And the other two, there are two more things that have been nominated. An episode of Fringe, written by J.J. Abrams, Letters of Transit, and then an episode of Game of Thrones, Blackwater.
Now, Game of Thrones will probably get it.
No, you don't know fandom.
Oh, really? Really? I'm assuming it's wildly popular.
It's wildly popular, yes, but it's going to be one of the two Doctor Who episodes.
Ooh.
All right.
Which one, Kirby?
There are three Doctor Who episodes.
It's going to be...
Snowman.
To meet those, I like Asylum, but it's not going to be...
What? Snowman.
I like Asylum.
These are voted on by the fans. These are voted on by members of the World Science Fiction Convention. And these tend to be literary fans. They're not people who... Often this convention's at the same time or a week before or a week after DragonCon. And the media fans go to DragonCon. Before DragonCon existed, media fans went to WorldCon. And it's just... So it's not going to be... I don't think it'll be Game of Thrones.
Okay.
It's a good show, though.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I'm quite interested in watching Game of Thrones because I've heard so much good talk of it. So I'm well behind on it, but I'm not going to say no if I get an opportunity. Thank you, Robert. Get an opportunity to watch it. But anyway, shall we move on to this week's edition?
Kirby had some big news.
Oh, go on, let's have some big news, Kirby.
More news than that?
Drum roll and big fanfare of trumpets.
What?
The Assyrian Dalek.
Oh, that wasn't big news. I posted a picture that was on Boing Boing earlier today. Of a carving from an Assyrian, some Assyrian ruin that looks like a Dalek. It's actually a large wheeled Assyrian battering ram that looks like a Dalek. It's kind of cool.
Oh, I see.
Big news is David Tennant and Billy Piper returning. A carving that kind of looks like a Dalek is fun trivia.
That just confirms that they're real.
Okay, right, let's move on. And now it's time for this week's You'll Never Get This One.
That's a
Robert Will.
Welcome to this week's edition of You'll Never Get This One with my contestants as usual. This week we've got Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Yo.
Mary Lang.
Mm.
Robert Haynes.
She's in trouble.
Yo.
And Reese Parton. Good. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And the first question this week goes to Kirby. What identity does the Doctor take in the second Doctor story, The Power of the Daleks?
Haven't seen it, don't know.
So I can pass it over to everybody else for 1 point.
Oh, I know it's the it's one of the people from Earth who have an inspector or something.
I'm afraid I can't give it. It has to say what it says here, but it was very close, but no cigar. Remember, everybody, wrong answers, and that's technically a wrong answer.
It's a negative point.
It's technically a right area. Answer, thank you very much.
Would get
an examiner from Earth,
deducted.
Wasn't it? An examiner?
Too late, but that was actually the answer.
Oh.
The examiner was the answer, but unfortunately you came up with about 15 other answers first, and we can't be having that. Bad luck, Robert. Right, next one goes to... Mind you, chop. It's Mary. Mary, this is your question, or your first question.
I'm so excited, I'm so
I thought
for
you
it.
Might be.
I can tell you not.
What character was played by Hugh Bonneville in the 11th Doctor story, The Curse of the Black Spot?
Earl of Grantham.
Well, I don't know the character's name, but he was a captain on the ship.
You don't know the captain's name?
I don't know the captain's name.
I don't know the captain's last name, but I know his first one.
Point deducted for Robert for jumping in.
Yeah, Robert jumped in too soon.
That's what she said.
No, I mean, I knew that. I knew he
was. Robert was correct with the answer.
I knew he was a captain, but I couldn't.
Be quiet, Reese.
That's the bad plot. Name of the episode.
No, right, Black okay. Spot.
Right,
Black
so Spot. Now we move on to in last place. Reese, behave yourself. Move on to last place, Robert Haynes, who's currently on minus one. Surprise, surprise.
Thank you.
Do I
here
get
we go.
Any points at all for saying what character he played, even though I don't know his name?
No, because no. Robert jumped no. in with the answer before you'd actually finished answering the question.
Is that correct, was it?
It was correct, but unfortunately it was still Mary's turn, so you lose a point. But you may be able to get the point back when you answer this question.
I doubt it.
It's whose turn is it? Is it still
Robert's
mine?
Turn.
Robert's turn.
What did the Doctor exclaim when he first saw the werewolf in the 10th Doctor story, Tooth and Claw?
Oh, I know it's something like, that's beautiful or something.
I'm going to give you that one, Robert.
That's what I was going to say.
Near enough. So you can move back on to
get
1 point.
Back to 0 points.
Oh, 1 point he's on. It's 2 points for a correct answer if it's on your go.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. This is for Reese Parton. Hello, Reese.
He's a Parton.
Oh, he's just gone.
Hi.
Right. This is your question. What character did Don Henderson play in the 7th Doctor story, Delta and the Bannermen? No, it wasn't.
I know.
Go on, Robert, because I don't.
It's Gavrok, isn't it?
Is the correct answer.
I told you he's going to win.
And I told you before, don't give me old Who questions, because
be
I don't
quiet.
Know.
You get what's
I remember the question. I remember the character. I don't remember his name.
You
I remember
must
him.
Do. I'm very surprised.
Like eating raw meat.
Standing on those
never mind
stairs.
Telling me what you do and don't know. These questions are random questions. And it's your turn, Kirby.
Uh-oh.
What was the name of the twins in the 6th Doctor story, The Twin Dilemma?
Romulus and Remus.
Is the correct answer.
Wow.
And a point deducted Kirby. For Robert for jumping in again. Mary.
Wait, did he jump in again?
He did.
I didn't.
Yes, he said Romulus and Remus exactly the same time you said it, but it still counts as jumping in.
I didn't say it. I said...
I didn't.
Oh, well, right,
I said
I'll
something
get...
about Kirby should know this. Something like that.
Oh, okay.
That does sound like Romulus
and Remus.
I'll
give you a point back.
Will you be ready, Robert, because I probably won't know this one either.
It's Mary's
don't
turn.
Don't jump in. Wait until it's time.
Right. Mary...
Yes.
Who played the character Lon in the 5th Doctor story, Snake Dance?
Oh, I never saw Snake Dance, so I have no idea.
So it goes over to someone else.
Oh, I know. It's the guy from Men Arvis's name? Oh, I can't think of his yep. name now.
No swearing.
Oh.
Doesn't.
Oh, what's his name? He's some man behaving badly or something, isn't he?
He is, but that's not the answer. It's not, I can't really put down that he... The answer is he's on the men behaving badly.
The answer there.
I'm still working on the Fifth Doctor. I'm watching Kinda now. Is that okay?
Right.
It's okay. Related to
time
that.
Up. It was Martin Clunes. Martin Clunes. Right. Yes. Okay, right. Next question is for Robert. In what Second Doctor story do the Doctor, Polly and Ben appear to land in a holiday camp?
The Macro Terror.
That's the correct answer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Reese. Reese.
Yes?
What does the Emperor of the Daleks call Rose in the Ninth Doctor story, oh. Parting of the Ways?
Ooh. That's not my answer, by the way. I'm just thinking.
Ooh, that's
she doesn't call her. Ooh. Ah, hang on.
He calls her something, obviously, a little pet name.
Wikipedia.com.
That's not her name. That's not what
no
it says.
No fair, no fair.
You, Rose Tyler, are Wikipedia.com.
And that, of course, is your answer.
No, it isn't. It was a joke. And I have to be honest, I've seen it, but I'm going to have to pass because I don't
know. Okay, anybody else like to come in with an answer?
That's what she said.
Isn't it Child of Something or Other, isn't it?
It is incorrect. It was The Abomination.
The Abomination? Yes. That's a cute little pet name for her.
Yeah.
Yes.
My little sweet Abomination.
We move back to Kirby. Kirby.
Who's the abomination then?
Be quiet. This is Kirby's question. What was Clara's internet username in the 11th Doctor story, The Bells of St. John?
Ooh, that was
Oswin.
Is the correct answer.
Easy
answer. These are random questions. Okay. This is for Mary.
I've only known that one a little less than a day.
Okay. This is Mary's question.
You've seen it three times.
Be quiet.
Norris Castle, Mary, in the Isle of Wight, was featured as the Master's prison in what Third Doctor story?
I don't know.
I could have a crack at that.
Go on in, Reese. Have a crack at it.
Go for it, Reese.
This is just a guess, but is it the demons? Okay.
It was the Sea Devils. But good way of stopping Robert getting the points. Right.
I assume you've gone over there and visited and taken lots of pictures.
No, I used to see it on the way to school every morning. I used to, and also when they were filming it, I was going to school.
Wow!
Only just started at school, was it? Because that would be 1971. I'm reminiscing. Okay. Moving on. This is now Robert's turn. Robert, what character was played by Bill Fraser in the Fourth Doctor story, Megloss?
Oh, that was the Protodak? No, that was...
No. Is the wrong answer. Anybody else like to come in with an answer?
Because that was the guy who was his offsider.
Anybody like to come in with an answer? Is that a no? The answer was General Grugger.
There you go.
Mm. Right, so this is now Reese's question.
Protodak was an anagram of bad actor.
Thank you. This is Reese's question. What was the name of the gaseous aliens in the Ninth Doctor story, The Unquiet Dead?
Oh, hang on. Let me think about that.
I know.
I know. I should know too. It's somewhere in my mind.
Point deductive for Robert to try and for Kirby.
Yes.
Just a bit of help.
Oh, what are they? No, you haven't. You're just trying to distract me.
I posted it on Facebook earlier today.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Time's
a ticking.
Facebook, not Wikipedia. what are they?
Another point deductive from Robert.
Last episode, wouldn't I? what are they?
Quiet, you!
Is the correct answer. Right.
Who said that?
Was that Reese? Reese said the answer. Reese said the answer.
Robert said that.
Reese said the answer.
Robert was throwing up. He wasn't saying any answer at all. It wasn't giving me any clue. I didn't take anything.
Point deducted. Right then, the next question. And we're on the last round there, everybody. It's all going to count on this round. Be quiet. What was the name of the character played by Freeman? Interrupting my question? A point deducted for interrupting my question?
No. You haven't said who's the...
Who are you asking?
It's you!
Yeah. Well, you didn't say that. So
well, I was, but you were talking over me. Kirby?
It's you.
And the question is... Kirby!
I'm the answer. Okay.
Kirby's the answer.
What was the name of the character played by Freema Agyeman in the 10th Doctor story, Army of Ghosts, / Doomsday?
I don't remember.
So it goes open. Anybody else like to come in with the answer?
Come on, Robert. No, you got it.
No, I don't know. I'm not good with new who.
I wouldn't even know.
No.
It wasn't Martha.
Was it Grace?
No. It wasn't.
Starts with an A.
No, it's... Look, basically, you've all got it wrong. Okay. Be quiet. No. The answer was Adeola Oshodi.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I told
Adeola.
You.
I would have taken Adeola, because I'm not that, you know. But I would have given
another
point.
For
him. I'll be quiet. Mary, this is your last question. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm always ready.
Okay. What reoccurring Doctor Who character was played by these actors... John Arnatt, Angus Mackay, Leonard Sachs, and Philip Latham.
The Merca.
Wild guess here.
Give you a hint, the Time Lord.
Is incorrect, but good. Go on, anybody else want to answer?
Isn't it Barossa?
It is the Barossa. Robert.
No.
Whose turn it is? Okay, the next question, this is for Robert. What was the Fourth Doctor's final word to Romana in the story Warrior's Gate?
You were the loveliest Romana of them all.
Incorrect. Anybody else like to come up with an answer?
It's nice to say of Adam, though, isn't it?
Anybody else like to come up with a... It was nearly right, but it was wrong. And don't come in, Robert, you're frozen out now. Anyone else to catch the correct line?
I don't Romana of them all, was it?
No, that's point deductive for coming in for the second time when you've already had a go.
It was a guess.
The answer was, you were the noblest Romana of them all.
Noblest, there you go. And you were something like that.
And this is the final... Oh, it's just Robert's go, isn't it?
It's the final countdown.
Sorry, Robert's chance of getting back into the lead. Right. Now, you've got to get this exactly word for word right, Robert. Are you ready? What's Romana's full name?
Romana Dvorak Trelanda or something like that.
Say that again. And let's just see if
Romana
it comes...
Romana Dvorak Trelanda, whatever.
Romana Dravatnalunda. The actual one. So I can't give you that one, but I should have actually thrown it out. Or I'll give you a point for that.
That's nearly right.
It was nearly right. It was a good effort, Robert.
Yeah.
So... Reese, what Fifth Doctor story featured a jester called Trickster? Hello, Reese. It's your go. This is the last question before we come up with a tiebreaker.
I know the answer to it already. I don't know. Fifth Doctor. I don't know.
Right. This could decide it. It's thrown open. What Fifth Doctor story featured a jester called Trickster? Nobody.
Was that King's Demons? Was it?
No, it wasn't. So it goes to a tiebreaker. No, it was Kinder.
Kinder, oh, there you go.
Kinder? So,
that's correct,
Kinder, I don't remember the
played by Reg. Reg from, what's the name, wasn't it?
Reg from what's the name?
Really helpful.
Right, okay, so with the current scores in last place, Mary with 0.
Is that correct? Adam.
What? Is what correct?
It's played by the guy who played Reg in the Bill.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Possibly. Moving on.
I've only got one episode to go on Kinda. Does he show up in the fourth episode? Because I don't remember anybody called the Trickster
Not called the trickster, he's called a trickster. He's a jester, as it said in the question.
Oh, he's the jester. Okay.
No, the visions that Tegan has?
Yeah.
That guy.
That's the Mara, wasn't it? Come on. Anyway, back. So I'll just go with the scores.
All
the
right.
scores. In last place.
In
last place, Mary with zero. A creditable zero, as ever. With Reese, two in third place. But in joint first place, and we need a tiebreaker, Kirby and Robert. And this is the tiebreaker question. Uh-oh. Please be quick to jump in.
For who is it for?
Well, you just say your name out. It's for both of you. First one to call their name out, and we'll then be allowed to answer the question. Are you ready? Call your name out. If you don't call your name out, you get a point deducted.
No jumping in.
Yeah, you say your name out if you want to answer the question. Are you ready?
Name out.
So Robert can get
your
Robert.
Name out.
You're going to get told off. Out. Here's the question. Why does the Doctor visit Doc Holliday in the first Doctor story, The Gunfighters?
Kirby.
Robert.
Go
Robert.
On, Kirby.
I got this. Thank you.
No, you didn't. It was definitely Kirby.
It was Kirby.
Yeah, he has a toothache.
Here's the correct answer. And wins the quiz for this week. Congratulations, Kirby.
I need to set up a rule.
No, that was not your
you
chair.
Who questions only.
I beg your pardon?
I need new who questions only because I don't know any.
No, you just need to get better educated in the history of Doctor Who.
No, I need the old who.
I don't seem to have a luck either way.
And there's a lot of editing for me to do on this show. But anyway,
it's a rule. I need the new who questions only.
I'll be quiet.
No, I'll huff and be a little child. Hold my breath. Your quiz down.
C'est la vie by Bewitched. Right then.
Speaking of the Gelf,
yes,
which we were talking about earlier,
Adam's gaseous creatures.
commenting on Ian's feedback, where
yes.
he's asking about zombies in New, and I could only think of two of them. The Gelf and the Empty Child. He just responded on Facebook, and yes, I got this one wrong. Zombies also were in New Earth.
Right. Okay, right then. So I'm just going to check there's no more last-minute messages coming through, and there aren't. And what's the show, the title of next week's episode? Not this show, I mean Doctor Who.
I was going to say, 20 Megabytes
on 2 podcasts. Unless you've changed it.
158 this one, so it'll be 159 next one.
158.
Wow. Mm. So, what's next week's Doctor Who called?
The Rings of something or other, beginning with A.
Correct. Just as well, that wasn't a quiz question, isn't it? Right,
yes.
So,
it would be a new Who one. That one I'd be all right. Losing a point.
Okay.
But losing points for classic Who ones when I haven't seen
all
it isn't fair.
Individually for joining us. Thank you, Kirby. You won't be on the show next week, will you?
Nope. And I'm
thank
not
you.
Even going to be able to provide feedback because
that's
I
not
probably,
good enough.
I probably aww. Will not even see the episode until I'm guessing Thursday, maybe Wednesday night.
I reiterate, not good enough.
Blimey.
But look forward to getting you back for episode 159.
Okay.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
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 Mary, thank you.
Is that the Ice Warriors one?
I hope so.
Ice
Mary, thank
Warriors.
You for actually joining the show when you weren't going to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad I could be here.
So am I.
Ooh, I apologize for being half an hour late.
Reese, thank you for turning up. And
yes.
Shame the lack of innuendo, but never mind.
I'll have to get up at about 5 in the morning next
when
time.
When are you guys going to do it next week?
Yeah,
that's what she said.
That's what she said.
And I'd like to thank Robert for joining us with a microphone where you can actually understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And a buzzing fan.
Yeah.
I
haven't got
yes.
a fan.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of What's Robert Going to Sound Like This Week.
All of the listeners are your fans.
Thank you everybody for being on the show this week. It's been lovely, and thank you listeners. Yeah. See you again next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Where am I? Where am
Au revoir.
I?
Where am where I? We left you.
Where am I? Oh.
Podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
What goes on
it? Be quiet. So we've had the opinion of the know-all fans, and how about the general British public? Deb, you're the general British public. What did you think of Doctor Who this weekend?
Do I have to answer now?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like talking into that.
Well, I have to, because there's a microphone. Well, it doesn't work too good without a microphone.
Well, do I have to?
Yes.
I don't want to.
I'll go on.
No.
What did you think of Doctor Who this weekend?
Didn't understand it.
Specifically?
The ending.
What about the rest of it?
It was okay, but it was just a bit complicated. It wasn't a story that you could think, oh yeah. But at the end, especially when she turned into a kid, it didn't explain it. There was no explaining of it.
What do you mean she turned into a kid?
She turned into a child, didn't she? She's speaking like a child. Where's mummy? Where's my daddy?
Oh, you mean Celia Imrie? Sorry, yes. I was thinking about
it
Clara.
It was a bit confusing at the end. I know it was something to do with this snowman bloke, wasn't it, again, wasn't it?
The Great Intelligence, yes.
Yeah. So, but it was just confusing. I'm sorry, I was disappointed. There you go.
So bearing in mind, obviously, Doctor Who fans know all about the Great Intelligence. Well, long-term Doctor Who fans do, at least.
It was a Christmas special, wasn't he?
Yeah, obviously, the form of that Richard...
He died at the end.
But obviously, the Great Intelligence has taken his body.
But didn't the thing die at the end, though?
He served the Great Intelligence and then took over his body.
Yeah, but where's this silly... I didn't understand with the rest of it. It was just... Oh. I mean, what was he going to do with all those people in the from the computer anyway?
Feed on their souls. Yeah, obviously, if you haven't watched the Christmas special...
I did watch the Christmas special.
But say you hadn't watched it, because some people might not have watched it, then you wouldn't have any idea what was going on in regards to the Great Intelligence. But it was fairly obvious to me that the body of that man who had been, obviously, Great Intelligence, had been in control of that him since he was a child, and has done the same thing to Celia Imrie's character. But in the Christmas special, his character was sort of killed off, and then the Great Intelligence has taken control of his body. But in this instance, he didn't kill off Celia Imrie's character, so she reverted to what she was before it took her over, which was a child. So she's now gone, in her mind she was a child, and now she's forgotten all the bits in between, and she's still a child in her mind, so she's going to wake up old in that office as Celia Imrie's character. But all right then. So aside the confusing bits for you, that Celia Imrie was a child when she woke up, when they sort of reversed all these uploads at the end of the thing and basically saved everybody, what about the story?
Do I have to comment again?
Yes.
Just found it a bit boring.
How could it be boring? It was all action-packed, wasn't it? Motorbikes, aeroplanes crashing.
No.
What did you think of the Doctor's new suit?
I didn't mean to take much notice.
Do not feel that the atmosphere of the series is different from what it was last year.
Don't know.
Got a different feel to it.
Has it?
If that has to me.
Well, it would do to you, wouldn't it?
I thought it was a fairly decent story. I mean, it ticked along quite nicely. Obviously, we still don't know who Clara is. Do you have any idea what's going on with Clara?
Nope.
No, that's fine. It would be quite good if you came up with the correct theory as to who she is. Did you get the bit where...
What do you mean, who she is? Do you think she's the Doctor's daughter or something?
Well, I don't know. Well, nobody knows who she is. It's all a big mystery. But there was a bit in the beginning of the story where she said she got the Doctor's phone number or the internet helpline from a woman in a shop who said it would be very helpful. So obviously this person knows the Doctor.
It's probably River then.
Did I say that again?
It's probably River then.
Well done. I don't know if it is, but that's what we all think anyway. But thank you. That's Deborah Pearson, listeners 4.
Don't be so stupid.